knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
Sure.
Have you ever been submerged in a body of water fully clothed?
Yeah.
On purpose or by being pushed or the like?
I mean, probably. I know that like it would only stick out to me in terms of like if I was pushed into something, right? I mean, like it would be some bullying incident or something.
Or like if you had a party and all of you and your friends jumped into the river.
I really don't think that is an uncommon thing in my life. I can't think of like specific things, but like swimming in clothes in Missouri.
You've jumped into too many.
Yeah, it doesn't. The reason I'm having a tough time with your question is because
it's happened
like,
so many times.
Why is this weird? We'd go to the swimming hole and jump it. And I know that I sound like I'm being all like, oh, yeah.
Tom Sawyer.
Right. I'm not. There were places that we had that we would go have some booze, smoke some weed.
Sure.
Jump in the water. There was a time there was like a little creek type, maybe even a lake-ish. It's not a lake. It was not a lake.
Sure.
Pond?
Yeah.
Pond.
Little pond.
Not too far away from my house. And, you know, whenever it would become winter, we would go out and, like, try and play on the ice and such. I remember one year I did fall in through the ice.
No shit.
And that was terrifying.
That is a fucking nightmare of mine.
I was in. I mean, it's not a gigantic pond. It wasn't, like, really deep. Like, it wasn't a situation like one of those things you see in movies where someone falls through the ice and they can't find the hole.
Yeah. No, that's my nightmare.
Yeah,
that
is a nightmare.
Whenever people, you can see them through the ice and they got their hands on there and they're like, I don't know where to go.
That was not my situation.
Oh, God.
I just fell into freezing water.
Yeah.
So my concern was far more like, I'm going to get hypothermia.
Right, of course.
I was able to get out of the water.
Yeah.
But it was terrifying. I guess that's the only, like, time that really sticks out of being in water in my clothes.
Yeah, that sounds like the horrifying experience that should stick out. Yeah.
I mean, I was a young man too, so you know, you're just like, well, I'm gonna lose my my toes now.
Yeah, that'll stick with you.
Anyway, I don't think it's weird to be in bodies of water with your clothes on, like Jordan seems to, because he's a liberal city elite.
Hates the out of doors, scared of the dark.
But I do know a lot about Alex Jones,
and I don't know anything about either.
Right. So today, Jordan, we had an interesting episode to go over. We are sticking in the present day. We're going over February 7th. 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
God damn it.
That's Friday's episode. And then we're also going over a special episode that Alex put out on Saturday. Very uncommon.
Okay.
For him. He usually only has shows Monday through Friday and then a Sunday episode. This week, he decided, we
got
an emergency on our hands. Got to do a Saturday episode.
I assume that means he needed to sell more food.
You bet.
Okay.
So there will be a bit of coronavirus, obviously. Because that's what Alex is going through today. But I believe that this is still worth talking about because there is an evolution. I think that much like viruses evolve and mutate, Alex's coverage of the Wuhan coronavirus situation is changing in front of our eyes.
Okay.
And it takes a very severe step on Friday's episode.
All right, so he's David Duchovny or Orlando Jones in this version of Evolution.
It's not good. Okay. What he's doing is not good, much like the movie Evolution.
Okay.
Starring David Duchovny and Orlando Jones. We're going to get down to business on this, but before we do, Jordan, we got to take a moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Emmy, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Emmy.
Thank you, Emmy. Next, Mason, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Mason.
Thanks, Mason. Next, Devin, D-E-V-I-N, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Devin.
Next, Wyatt, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Probably Bray Wyatt.
I was going to say, you can't even say Wyatt without wanting to say Bray Wyatt like that.
Totally. Yep. Next, Christine, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Christine.
Thanks, Christine. Next, Timothy, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Timothy.
Thank you, Timothy. Next, Liam, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Liam.
Thank you, Liam. Next, Heidi, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you, Heidi. And then finally, Mike, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Mike, like Bray Wyatt.
Thanks, Mike.
If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoy this show. I'd like to support what these gents do. You can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
It'd be very helpful.
So, Jordan, today, like I said, February 7th and 8th, 2020, it's going to be interesting. Here is an out-of-context drop from today's show.
Very few people crap in the pool unless they're babies.
Fair enough.
I'm going to need some hard numbers on that.
He does not have a study.
He does not have a study to back him up. You need to cite a source on that.
I will say that that's about the most real thing that he says. So,
or at least most reasonable to assume.
Yeah. Fairest thing. So we start here on the 7th, and Alex has an announcement, and I got pretty excited about this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are broadcasting worldwide on this Friday transmission, and we have a very special guest joining us, but I'm going to go to rebroadcast for a little while.
Some
information I got to work on, and then I'm going to come back with all this breaking news and information today. Okay, and I'm going to have Dr. Francis Boyle, creator of the Bioweapons Act, says God coronavirus is biological warfare weapon, and he's got in-depth intel that's breaking that no one else has. And you know, this type of person has a lot of big contacts at the United Nations and worldwide. He was also Slobodan Milosevic's lawyer.
What?
I mean, just
he was what?
The people he's connected to.
Wait, hold on. What?
Uh-oh.
What?
Uh-oh.
Wait, uh-oh. Hold on. What? No. What? You can trust him. He was Slobodan Milosevic's lawyer.
Hold on.
You know.
Hold on. An important point here that Alex really should clarify is that Francis Boyle was not Slobodan Milosevic's lawyer. That would be a fucking weird credential for a bioweapons expert, considering the fact that Milosevic was an authoritarian ruler who was tried at The Hague for violating the Geneva Conventions.
Yeah, Roger Stone was his lawyer.
It sure would be strange for Alex to be bragging about one of his guest's credentials by saying he had defended the first sitting world leader to ever be charged with war crimes.
Right, right.
Boyle was not Milosevic's lawyer, but Alex doesn't care about the details. In reality, Boyle, he did file charges to the International Court of Justice accusing Serbia, under Milosevic, of committing genocide against the Bosnian Muslim population. While it's not up for discussion whether or not a genocide took place in the Bosnian War, it had not been decided in a court if Serbia and Milosevic had directly or indirectly been responsible for those crimes. That trial resulted in the determination that Serbia was not directly or indirectly involved in the genocide, but that they were responsible for not doing, they were responsible in the sense that they didn't do what they needed to have done to prevent it.
Sure.
Whatever you're feeling about that result of the trial, Francis Boyle was not a lawyer making arguments in that case. He was just the person who drafted the filing that led to the opening of that case.
Gotcha.
Alex saying that Francis Boyle was Slobodan Milosevic's lawyer is a deeply troubling slip-up in his seeming knowledge base. Not only does Alex not realize that Boyle was involved in trying to get Milosevic charged with genocide, he doesn't seem to know that saying someone was Milosevic's lawyer would not be a great thing for them to have on their resume.
Everyone deserves a fair defense, Dan. That's in the Constitution.
Right. Totally. Totally.
Except for Slobodan fucking Milosevic. He does not get a fair defense.
Alex doesn't seem to be aware that Slobodan Milosevic is one of the modern era's big villains. And that seems to me to be a little worried.
That is a trouble.
So Francis Boyle has been a lawyer representing a few groups in the past. However,
Ceausescu, Mao, all the heavy hitters.
Alex could have brought those things up. Like, for instance, he's been advisor for the Hawaiian independence groups for years, which Alex could possibly bring up, but he probably wouldn't want to do that since it involves people who don't think America is so great and don't want to be a part of it.
I don't think he wants Hawaii to have independence.
It doesn't seem like it. He wants more Hawaiians.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Alex would bring up the fact that Boyle has been an advisor for the Palestinian Authority, but he probably wouldn't want to do that since Alex hates Palestinians. In the interest of being fully clear, I support Palestinian rights, but I don't think I necessarily agree with Boyle's position, which seems to be in favor of the destruction of Israel.
Right.
And he has also called it Jewistan in the past, so I think he might be a little bit off of what I agree with.
See, that's where you get to that full circle situation where it's like somebody's so anti-Semitic they're accidentally doing something that's helpful for all the wrong reasons.
I'm not entirely sure exactly what his deal is. There are a lot of people who have some questions, so yeah, I'll say that if you look into it.
Well, Milosevic couldn't even afford him, so who knows?
In January 2018, Fox 55 out of Champaign, Illinois, ran a story about how for the 10th year in a row, Boyle was trying to get St. Patrick's Day celebrations canceled because of a concern that kids were going to get drunk and commit crimes. He wanted bars and liquor stores to be banned from offering drink specials or advertising for the event, which seems like Alex might say would have a chilling effect on free speech.
Yeah, he also outlawed dancing in Champaign.
Very
Christ,
close.
Dude.
Very close. Doesn't want people getting drunk on St. Patrick's Day. As recently as a month ago, Boyle was making appearances on podcasts arguing that Trump needs to be impeached, primarily for his complicity with Saudi Arabia and their atrocities in Yemen. Alex probably doesn't want to bring that up. But to be fair, also Boyle has called for every president since at least Clinton to be impeached. So
that I don't think is that wrong. That's one of the ones where I think I might be fine with that.
And that's where we get into something that's really tough. And that is that Francis Boyle is a bit of a complicated figure from a political perspective. He definitely has some real entries in his resume, mostly ending about 15 years ago. He has some positions that I think I can get down with, like Hawaiian independence, but he also seems to really disproportionately hate Israel. And the way he expresses his opposition there seems to imply feelings that are more than political in nature.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can get on board with him.
Yeah. I want Hawaiian independence so the Jews can't get it. God damn it. No.
Right.
No.
Right. Whatever.
Boyle, no.
Whatever the case about his sort of agreement on some things like Hawaiian independence or Palestinian rights, I do not know what he is up to, and I would just as soon not consider him an ally to the positions that I have. It's too confusing.
Yeah.
And whatever the case, he was not Milosevic's lawyer. Alex has no idea what he's talking about, pretty much ever. However, I'm glad that Alex is back on the show now, and he has Francis Boyle on, because now we can actually hear what arguments he has, as opposed to the last time he was on, because Owen Schroyer interviewed him, and I have no interest in listening to that. So, we will get to hear what Francis Boyle brings to the table in terms of the bioweapon argument.
I'm not excited.
No, you shouldn't be. It's very disappointing. So, Alex has a new theory about the Wuhan novel coronavirus.
Right.
It's not good. I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that up front. Here is sort of Alex fleshing it out a little bit.
Now, is this a cover for the fact that the Chinese economy was imploding? They lost their trade war with the U.S.
Uh-uh.
They had major civil uprisings?
Definitely not.
Well, let's look at the different pieces.
Okay.
This coronavirus is conclusively from the SARS family. The communist Chinese have been caught four times releasing it out of their labs. Doesn't sound like accidents to me.
So the implication is now becoming that China released this on itself intentionally.
Right. It's a false flag.
We got a false flag.
We got a false flag, baby.
Because they've released it four times before.
Okay.
So first of all, it's really important to recognize how Alex operates very consistently in the realm of speculation. He's introduced this whole segment basically as him spitballing, so there's no real need for him to come to a conclusion. And even if he does eventually make definitive statements, that's really just him looking at all the angles or some shit.
It's how he feels.
So he's speculating that China was ashamed that they lost this trade war with Trump, which I'm not sure is accurate at all. And to save face, they've launched a bioweapon attack on themselves that's disrupting their economy and definitely not helping on that front.
Right.
On its face, this makes no sense. Even without analysis, this theory should be discounted because it's dumb as shit.
Yeah. It's not just throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's never having taken a bath and just killing your baby.
What's a bath?
Yeah, exactly.
As to Alex saying that China released SARS four times, I would call on him to prove that claim. There was the mainland SARS outbreak that occurred between 2002 and 2003, but since that was dealt with, it is true that there have been reappearances of SARS. That, however, is not the same thing as saying China released it four times. So let's take a look at some of those reappearances.
Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man... How many Spider-Mans have there been?
There's been...
Four!
Uh-oh.
At least.
It's predictive programming. So on January 4th, 2004, a man in southern China came down with SARS. But all indications in his case had led experts to believe that he was infected through human-animal contact, which makes sense. In 2017, The Guardian reported on Chinese researchers who had finally traced down the origin of SARS to a colony of bats. It was initially believed that the source was civet cats, but further research found that those cats were actually just an intermediate step between the bats and humans. This same article discusses how another SARS outbreak is very possible, given the absence of a SARS vaccine and the fact that animal-human transmission could very well happen again. This is very much likely what happened with this guy in 2004.
Sounds right.
The rest of them are the product of lab accidents. In 2003, in August, a virology grad student in Singapore was exposed to SARS in a lab that he worked at, but didn't end up infecting anyone else and was treated. That was one reappearance. In December 2003, a SARS researcher was infected. All of the people he had been in contact with were quarantined, and none of them came down with SARS. An investigation found that he'd been working with hazardous materials in improper settings, or not improper settings, but he wasn't using proper protocol and didn't have a correct uniform, like gloves and a mask.
Sure.
He had behaved in ways that were made it a high risk.
He wandered in with shorts and a Hawaiian shirt and was like, let's play around with viruses today, guys.
Maybe not.
Jimmy Buffett.
Maybe not literally true, but spiritually accurate. He was not adhering to proper protocol in this lab where he was researching SARS, and he ended up getting it.
I like the balls on a guy who's like working with one of the most dangerous viruses that you can get. And he's just like, I mean, gloves are a lot to put on today, you know?
That's not China releasing SARS, but that would have to be one of the instances that Alex is talking about.
Absolutely.
So then in April 2004, the Chinese Ministry of Health reported three cases of SARS, one of them leading to a death. This was the result of a laboratory researcher at the Institute of Virology, which did research SARS, although this person didn't actually directly research SARS. Just clearly this is where they contracted the virus. This researcher then infected the nurse who was attending to her, as well as her mother, who was there at the hospital. Her mother tragically passed away, but the virus didn't spread further than this. Going over the details of these additional SARS cases outside of the initial outbreak, it really seems hard for me to see any proof of China intentionally releasing SARS in any of them. One seems like an open and shut natural case, and the rest can largely be attributed to poor procedural controls and lab settings. The guy in December 2003 seems to be the product of his own negligence, the guy with the Hawaiian shirt, as you called him, not some kind of state attempt at a bioweapon release.
Right, right. I imagine he's played by Pauly Shore in this situation.
Sure.
Yeah.
China in specific and East Asia in general lost a ton of money during the SARS outbreak. An article in Reuters cites a research paper putting the total at a loss of $15 billion in GDP just from that outbreak. If there's some kind of motive that Alex is trying to suggest that involves the economy, his argument is ludicrous. No country would ever release a bioweapon on themselves to save face or shore up their economy.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but $15 billion in your GDP of China, what, 20 years ago? That's like 5 to 10% of their entire GDP wiped away.
I'm not entirely sure what exactly it is, but it's not
unconsiderable. It's a lot, yeah.
It's a relevant amount.
Yeah.
So that theory is bullshit. Right. Just, I'm going to toss that into the trash bin.
Bye.
So Alex is like trying to think about, like, I need experts to talk to. I got Francis Boyle coming up. He's going to tell me about bioweapons.
Right.
But what about people who know things about China?
He doesn't know any of them.
Well, he knows one guy.
Oh, no.
In fact, I forget his name. Who's that famous human rights activist that got the China open to U.S. adoptions? He worked with the CIA, and we've had him on. He lives in Canada. He's really smart. And I've been thinking, what is his name? And I can't remember it. Guys, get him back on immediately. If one of you can remember who I'm talking about, call him and tell us.
We don't need to wait for the callers. I remember who that is. It's Jim Garrow. We've talked about him a bit in the past. He's the guy who runs that operation called Pink Pagoda, which he claims is helping arrange adoptions of Chinese children.
He was the one who claimed that he was stealing and human trafficking children, and he was doing it proudly.
Well, I mean, Yes, if he's not making it all up.
Which he most certainly is, yes.
Because journalists and researchers who have tried to corroborate anything he says about his adoption operations have come up completely empty. And when they've tried to ask him for any kind of evidence to prove his claims, he's like, no, for the safety of people, I will not prove anything.
Excuse me, sir. Where exactly are the thousands of children that you have taken from China? Thousands of children that you have claimed to...
Yeah, it's it seems like the more likely thing is that he's scamming.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was arrested in 2014 for having an illegal gun, which he claimed wasn't his. He currently now, like, he has a bunch of profiles up promoting himself to get acting gigs. So I assume that if Alex calls, he'll be showing back up.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Interestingly, Jim's acting bio seems to not mention any of his extravagant adventures, like saving everybody in China.
Has he filmed a lot of movies in China, Dan?
No.
No?
Also, okay. His bio doesn't seem to mention the time that Obama tried to kill him or the claim that he was in the CIA for 45 years.
Right. That would be some good experience to put on your acting resume. You know, you play that, you can get jobs playing the experienced CIA guy all day.
Quote, having meddled away my life in various settings, I've come to the conclusion that enjoying all that is brought to you is part of growing up. As a foreigner coming in from Scotland, I was open to the new world and all of its experiences. I did some degrees, became a teacher, principal, college president, teacher's college principal, and found myself in China, opening schools and bringing students back to North America. Then I did a small commercial for a resort in China and loved the experience. So that's his bio on
I refuse to accept that. Take that down. I want to cease and desist on that.
Jim Garrow is a complete con man, but he's someone Alex looks at as a credible source to base his positions on. This is just a pathetic level of non-vetting. Honestly, I hope Alex does have him back on, because based on his past record, Jim Garrow is the sort of hard-swinging crazy dude that I need to find love for the game again.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
His claims are big. They could be pretty fun.
It's between him and, you know, if Zagami weren't such a heavyweight in the field, I think he would be... at least number two behind CBPs.
He doesn't, like, Leo doesn't seem to know much about China, though. He's not get into this season.
That's true. But I feel like once you orchestrate 9/11, you're up in the pantheon, right?
It's true.
Of hard-swinging claims.
Unfortunately, Alex is actually thinking of a different guest, but ascribing pieces of Jim Garrow's resume to him. Alex later comes up with this dude's name. It's Stephen Mosher. We've talked about him a bit in the past, too. He was the guy who was an anthropological research student in 1979 when he went to China to do a cultural study. He published an article describing the Chinese government's practice of forcing women to get abortions, which ultimately led to him getting expelled from his PhD program at Stanford. People like Alex will likely say that he was expelled because he dared criticize China, but the reality is that he published photos and identifying information about the women who were his informants, which is a clear breach of ethics that put these women's lives at risk. I don't want to put this too bluntly, but it's a very serious decision when a school kicks out a PhD candidate. That's not the same thing as getting kicked out of your undergrad program for plagiarism or partying too hard. Like, universities make a great investment in the people they choose to accept for PhD consideration, and I know from conversations with doctoral advisors at high-profile colleges, read my dad, that typically schools do whatever they can to not kick out PhD candidates. In the case of Mosher, the board voted to expel him 11-0.
Ooh.
Mosher tried to appeal his expulsion, but Stanford stood firm and explained some of the reasons they were upholding his dismissal. One of them was regarding a tape his ex-wife had given them where he bragged about lying about having top-secret clearance in order to pretend to be a courier to get a free flight from California to Japan.
Why do people put everybody's recording? Yeah. Everybody's always recording.
So he's a fraud guy.
Keep it quiet.
The school also had hired a private detective who had determined that Mosher had fabricated at least one sales receipt for a camera that he had purchased for his work, which is suspicious. As Stanford's then president, Donald Kennedy, described it, he seemed to have a, quote, pattern of behavior towards those you deal with. The school was right to expel him. You just can't take the risk of being associated with someone who would operate that way.
Yeah.
See, like, multiple instances of, like, real disingenuous practices. You just, like, this puts your work at question. You can't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since then, he's basically written a bunch of books about how evil China is. Along the way, in 1996, he founded the Population Research Institute, which portrays itself as a group trying to debunk the lies of overpopulation, but it's actually just a pro-life advocacy group. The Institute really is just a Catholic anti-contraception, anti-abortion front that Mosher took over in 1996 when Paul Marx, a Catholic priest who was an early leader in the pro-life movement, stepped down. In the ensuing years to the present day, they branched off into the predictable hard-right talking points like denying climate change, sure, and being anti-LGBTQ rights.
Of course.
They're very untransparent about where their funding comes from, because of course they are, but it's known that between 1999 and 2002, they received at least $130,000 from the Lind and Harry Bradley Foundation. This is without a doubt a small chunk of the right-wing billionaire money that's coming into that institute,
yeah,
in order for them to push their nonsense.
Yeah.
Alex was absolutely thinking of Jim Garrow, based on all the details that he gave. Garrow pretends he was in the CIA, he pretends he was involved in Chinese adoptions, and he lives in Canada. None of these things apply to Mosher. Alex legitimately can't keep any of his guests' nonsense backstories straight because they're all bullshit.
Yeah.
They're all just fabricated. He can't remember anything.
To the point where I bet if he gave Mosher's credits as that, Mosher would be like, oh shit, did I make those lies? Oh god, am I... Yeah, I totally did all that stuff,
except,
Alex. I'm
except
sure
for he lives in Canada. That yeah. one would be.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. That one's tough to get around.
So you heard at the beginning of the show, Alex was saying, like, I got to go off air for a little bit to get my notes right.
Yeah. Which
he plays
is
like a special reporter, too. But I don't know if he actually got anything right. But he is weird at the beginning of the episode.
Coming to work an hour early.
It would help.
Yeah.
If you're tuning in and saying, what's Jones doing right now? He's saying interesting things, but he's all over the map. I am brainstorming right now on air.
Not good. Have a pre-show meeting.
Because what happens is I get set and I have my line of thought, and then it's my fault. I get easily distracted. It happened at the very start of the show, and then I've got to reset. So let me just do that as best I can here right now.
All that is I don't prepare anything. I'm just sort of winging it.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
That's basically what he's
saying. If I seem distracted, it's because I'm trying to wing it.
I am easily confused.
Yeah. So Alex's big take on the China situation is, so far we've seen, he's decided it's a bioweapon that China released on itself, most likely.
Yes.
And one of the reasons he thinks this is because he's never seen such a reaction to an outbreak. And he expresses that
really?
Here. He expresses that in this next clip, and I think it's just so stupid.
We can talk all day about how bad's it going to be? What are they covering up? Why the giant response, but the media saying it's no big deal at the same time? Why the unified global response, which you've never seen before, at least I haven't. Correct me if I'm wrong with a case example.
Okay.
So what Alex is saying is completely insane and means nothing. Is he really suggesting that there hasn't been instances of outbreaks being met with international cooperation before? Because
never.
That's a really dumb thing to say.
Sovereign nations solve their problems by themselves, Dan.
He wants a case example? Okay. SARS, MERS, Ebola, Zika, all were handled with international efforts.
I don't understand.
What does he mean by unified global response? He just throws...
Nobody's rooting for SARS this time.
He just throws terms around and then stakes idiotic claims on them. That's like half of his skill as a broadcaster.
So back then, Chile was all in for SARS. Chile was rooting for SARS the whole time.
Just to be different.
Yeah, exactly. This is the first time the world is united in saying viruses are bad.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak, and then you can tell me if you think that this is a unified global response. Okay. On November 16th, 2002, China reports the first case of atypical pneumonia. More cases pop up, and then by March 2003, the World Health Organization issues a global alert, which puts into motion an international response. Within 2 days, the CDC has established an emergency operations center here in the United States, and 3 days after that, an international network of 11 labs start working in conjunction to determine the cause of the outbreak and figure out its genome. By July 5th, the World Health Organization declares the outbreak contained, with no local transmissions within the virus's incubation period. A piece in the Bulletin of the World Health Organization discusses the lessons that were learned in the outbreak by Brian Doberstein, the director of the Division for Combating Communicable Diseases for the World Health Organization's Regional Office of the Western Pacific. Here is one of his main takeaways. Quote, What was gratifying was that during the SARS outbreak in 2003, there was unprecedented collaboration among scientists and laboratories around the world to work together to identify the causative agent, map its genome, and develop reliable diagnostic tests.
Even in the face of Chile's resistance.
There was openness and willingness to share critical scientific information promptly. As a result, the virus was identified and its genome mapped within weeks of the outbreak. The scientific world was shown at its best. That sure as shit sounds to me like a unified global response being discussed. That article in the Bulletin literally ends with this line, quote, "No man is an island and no country can fight a global public health threat alone." Every single case of a public health emergency will ultimately require a unified global response. Putting it bluntly, Alex is just talking complete shit. He's just making stuff up, and what he's saying doesn't mean anything.
Look, governments do so much evil shit. Why can't for once we all root for the International Coalition of People Stopping Viruses? This is the one thing where can't we all be like, fuck yeah, the CDC and the WHO are kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just do that for one thing? Why does Alex have to be a dick about everything?
I'm not entirely sure if I could pinpoint it to one reason, but I think it might
be a
constellation of things.
Fair.
I don't even want to play you this clip. So Alex has decided that this is a false flag attack that China did on themselves.
Right.
And now it evolves even further.
How?
Alex is suggesting now that it's a race-specific bioweapon meant to just attack the Chinese, that the Chinese are doing to themselves. And along
the way, all Chinese people are, never mind.
Along the way.
I'm not even going to start there.
Along the way, he might reveal himself to be a bit of a racial science guy.
Oh, no.
But it's serious, and they're covering up what's really going on, and it's just incredible to me that it's so obviously a bioweapon and that it's so obviously race-specific on record for Chinese men. I mean, it's so specific. The Chinese genome is so close. Only other group maybe as closely related for a large population is Koreans.
What?
And
what?
So they're just tailor-made for a race-specific bioweapon. Because you don't want to use one.
What?
A race-specific bioweapon that, say, kills a mongrel, which we think of as a bad term. It's a good term, you know, for genetically being able to fend off against things. Everybody knows that purebreeds get diseases easier. So look at British royalty and people. They're very sickly. They're very mentally ill. I'm not knocking Chinese folks. They're real smart and got some great attributes. But on average, there's problems with being inbred. And just as a genome, the Chinese are very similar.
I guess my first response to that clip would be like, hey, got a citation on any of that?
Holy shit, man.
Simply put, I refuse to engage with that. Like, I'm not even down for it because it's not based on anything and it's deeply racist. Even if you ignore the part where he's talking about mongrels and how Chinese people are inbred. What underlies Alex's position here is there a belief that there's something genetically distinct about people of different races, which is to say that there's some gene or allele that makes a Chinese person Chinese. And I guess he's somehow proven that this coronavirus is genetically engineered to specifically target people with that Chinese gene. This is completely fucked up, and it's an instance where I'm just going to say I reject your premise, and I'm not even going to dignify this with any sort of discussion.
Unreal.
Like, it's
just unreal.
Many, many, many studies have been done about in-group, out-group sort of genetic diversity.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you have more genetically in common with people who are not part of your ancestral lineage than with people who are within your quota, what we understand as a racial group. It's this is really fucking messed up stuff.
Yeah, if he keeps talking like that, he's going to be a congressman from Kansas, I believe. That's what you get whenever you get that racist? I think you get that.
So Alex goes further down this road. It's just bad, man. This is bad stuff. Like
he goes further down that road?
Oh, yeah.
That road, you can go further down. Yeah. I thought we had reached the end of that road. Oh, God.
And just as a genome, the Chinese are very similar. So they're perfect to hit with a bioweapon because you can kill them off and not hurt your own people. They're asking for it.
What does he mean by saying that they're asking for it?
Wait, so the Chinese government is releasing a race-specific bioweapon that targets only Chinese men. Dan, do you know what one thing most of the Chinese government has in common with itself?
Men? Well, look, here's the issue. Alex is kind of wishy-washy throughout whether or not like China did this to themselves as a false flag.
Sure, sure. That one's negotiable.
Yeah, but yeah. He's now leaning pretty hard into this being a race-specific bioweapon.
Of course.
And because all Chinese people are so similar to each other.
Right. Which they chose to do.
They're asking for it. I don't even know, man. They chose
to have a massive geographical location with many different subgroups and cultures within it and yet still be genetically similar?
Like, does
How dare they?
In that clip, Alex says that the Chinese are perfect to hit with a bioweapon because you can kill them off while not hurting your own people. And I think that what's important to recognize here is that Alex thinks very racially.
Yeah.
He thinks very much in terms of people of different ethnic groups not being, quote, his people. And I find that mentality to be racist at its core. Also, in this scenario, who is it that's deploying this bioweapon? Because we've talked about it. I thought he said he was saying the Chinese did it because they want to lower the population or save face in the trade war or whatever. But now it's about eliminating the Chinese without risking any non-Chinese losses, which is incompatible with the previous thought. He's all over the place.
Yeah, that's incoherent.
I'm guessing he's... you know, saying it's the globalists, but he believes that the globalists are in bed with China and want China to take over the world, so I don't see the motive here. Nothing he's saying makes any sense. It's complete trash. But beneath it is a framework of a very, very racist
dude. It's an incredibly racist line of thought to even entertain.
Now, I mean, hey, look.
Because here's the other underlying truth there, is that you don't think... he must think that... skin color means complete genetic breaks.
Yeah.
White people are completely genetically separate distinct. From black people, from Chinese people, from all of those different
things.
That's
what I was trying to get at the last clip. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that is what he thinks.
That's just bonkers. That's it, he's into this like chimpanzees are 97% of the same genetic material as a Homo sapiens kind of level of shit.
I mean,
where there are literal, some people are Homo sapiens and then some people are fucking Chinese in his mind.
It's tough to figure out exactly what he believes because he's not really expressing it. But
right.
The little hints that he gives and the little indications lead you to think like, oh no.
That is the, if not... out and out the building block of a race superiority, genetic superiority argument.
Yeah, it generally instantly. Is a piece of it.
Yeah.
So the problem I think comes down with, I mean, all of it, but one problem is like, hey, releasing a biological weapon is a big old war crime.
These days, war crimes are within the eye of the poor person murdered.
Look, dude, it's important to nail down who's doing this.
Right.
If Alex is suggesting it's a bioweapon release, we better know who it is because it's a big crime. But it turns out in some situations, maybe it's not a crime.
This is perfectly made for Chinese, and it doesn't just do that. If you were morally going to hit a group that was attacking you,
morally,
you would only hit them with something that goes after military age men. And that's what they're admitting. It's young men.
No.
Predominantly, this is wiping out. So specifically targeted, so specifically made. Now, do you think that just fell out of the sky?
First, I need to get this taken care of right off the bat. Under no circumstances is it ethical to deploy a bioweapon against a civilian population, regardless of if it attacks young men, regardless if you feel like they're attacking you. This is very clear in international law. Just possessing something that could be a biological weapon, if not explicitly for legitimate research purposes, could get you charged with a war crime. What Alex is suggesting he's saying this is ethical. It would be a massive international scandal. This is a super, super fucked up thing that he seems to be okay with, and I think he kind of sounds like a Nazi.
Not even, he's talking about something even deeper than that ethical concept. He's talking about morals. Like, God gives you the right, so long as you only kill military-aged men, to murder people who aren't even combatants.
This is an insane argument. And unacceptable on any level. Also, I have no idea where Alex is getting this information that it's mostly military-aged men who are dying from the coronavirus.
Like most diseases.
According to a report in The Guardian from February 1st, they had reviewed demographic information that had been released about people who had died. And naturally, you'd expect most of them to be people who are elderly or have pre-existing conditions. They mostly were, but there were five outliers. People aged 36, 50, 53, 55, and 58. That, as far as I can tell, is not this thing mostly hitting military-aged men. I don't know what Alex is talking about, and I would really need him to cite his sources, which he won't do because he doesn't have one. He's just trying to find ways to feel good about the concept of Chinese people dying. The New York Times published an article with updated information on February 7th, discussing details about 138 cases that they had reviewed. One of these cases, of these cases, the median age of the person who got the virus was 56, and the median age of someone who got it and needed intensive care was 66. They found that 54% of the cases in their sample were men, though they did point out that other reports of different cases claimed a higher percentage of men. For instance, Lancet published a report about 13 patients in Beijing, which had a median age of 34, and 77% of them were men. Those are both pretty outside the expected range of a broader distribution, but considering it's a sample of 13 people, it's not necessarily meant to be interpreted as representative of the wider population.
See, that's where we get back to that 77% thing where you're like, you're fooled by 77%. You're right. Like, well, at the very least, that means 77 out of 100.
Right.
And instead, it's eight dudes.
Well, I think it was 10. But yeah, your point stands.
Yeah, I
get what you're saying. Well, it's why these things are really important for people to understand. Like, you have to get context for numbers, because Alex could just point to this at 77% of
people. See, it's so easy.
13 people in Beijing, very specifically. Like, it's not a representative sample.
And in that situation, if it's only 13 young men in Beijing, that means that they're almost certainly people who travel around a lot, making them far more likely to be exposed to this.
And it's not to say that all of them were young, but the median age was 34.
Yeah.
So that means there were more younger people represented than you would expect.
Or it means there were 5 1-year-olds.
But also, none of those patients died or had severe complications. It wouldn't be too surprising if there were a lot of people across all age groups who get the virus, much like people of all ages are susceptible to catching the flu. It's a matter of it being far more serious for older people and people with pre-existing health conditions that put them at greater risk. Anyway, the bottom line is that I think Alex is just making all this up because he's fantasy role-playing. But there's something deeply disturbing about this new wrinkle to his language. Who does he think China was attacking? Who does he's suggesting that someone has the moral right to use a bioweapon against Chinese military-aged men because of something.
I guess.
What is he doing?
I have no idea. These guys are so scared. That's why when you hear or when you read about all of the times where Trump has just been like, well, why don't we nuke them?
Right.
And you're like, that's the thinking that these people have, that idea that total war makes sense. Like, they stopped reading about military strategy whenever they read that some people burned crops and that's how they won the war. And they were like, yeah, hooray, let's starve the poor.
I mean, it's...
it's fucked up.
Yeah, when you have Alex making rationalizations for the concept of deploying a biological weapon, like, even in a hypothetical scenario, you're way past anything acceptable. So Alex talks a little bit in this next clip, suggesting the possibility that we did it. The United States did this as an attack on Chinese military-aged men because China is somehow attacking us.
That has taken a turn.
I told you.
That is a turn.
I told you. Drastic evolution.
That is a turn.
Now, do you think that just fell out of the sky? No. And the scientists look at it, the Indian top scientists, everybody else is looking at it saying the same thing. They just get their funding pulled if they say it. That's why the U.S. and China and others who have the genome, the RNA sequence of the virus, will not send it out. People are like, why won't you send it out so we can identify? Because when you get it, you go, my God. An oak tree's organic. A 57 Chevy's man-made. This is a 57 Chevy. It's made. Now, the big question is, did the United States launch this against China as a reaction in the war? Because China's been secretly attacking us and pulling a bunch of stuff.
What? What?
Else? I think I have the answer. On the other side.
So we don't get to know if Alex thinks it was us who did this because of the secret war.
Wow. Wow.
I think we have reached the critical mass of bullshit.
Yeah, that one.
Alex is straight up suggesting that it's a possibility that the U.S. spread the coronavirus as a bioweapon because China's been attacking us, just after saying it would be ethically right to do that. Obviously, the United States didn't do that, but Alex is pretending that we might have and justifying it. I know that this is a bit of a stretch, but Alex hates Somalia. So let's say one day Trump decides that Somalia is our enemy and they've been attacking us, so he uses a biological weapon against them. According to what Alex is saying right now, it seems like he would have to be okay with it. He's normalizing the idea of using bioweapons on civilians in peacetime. All you have to do is pretend that their country is attacking you. This is so deeply disturbed. He needs to get off air. Like, I cannot no, stress this, enough. This,
yeah, no, whenever you're saying that, not even that, like, when you're saying both China and the United States have probably also released this at the same time.
Maybe.
To kill people that you wouldn't.
He's very unspecific about what he's actually suggesting, but yeah. Underneath it is a normalization of the concept of using biological agents against civilians.
Yeah.
Like that is a point at to which the Overton window cannot go.
Yeah.
You cannot Alex's normal, the deep state needs to be rooted out. Like, yeah, right. This is really bad for normalizing this kind of conversation. But what he's trying to make acceptable to talk about now is atrocities.
And not just that, but another thing underlying it is that there is no such thing as peacetime. Wow. Because everyone is always secretly
at war with Oceania.
Always.
Yeah.
We've always been, if not openly, then secretly at war. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if we declare war or not. We have already been at war.
Yeah. I mean, like the shit he's been doing where he's been trying to make infomercials out of a public health emergency, that's bad.
Yeah.
But it's kind of what you expect from the school of con man he comes from. This is something else altogether. Just the other day, he was saying that Trump should outlaw the Democratic Party, and now he is warming up to the idea of using race-specific bioweapons on civilians. I really don't know if he knows what he's saying anymore, but I also really don't care. It doesn't get better from here. This is this is a path downward that we're on that I couldn't even predict this kind of thing.
Man. I was thinking the other day, I was literally thinking so many people are like, well, when you hit bottom, there's nowhere to go but up. And I was like, or there's no bottom. And I was thinking, I've been thinking, oh, there's just no bottom. It's just always going to, it's just going to keep going. It's just going to keep going.
Yep.
And even this, Dan, surprised me that you can go this low.
Right.
Yeah. I've been telling myself there's no bottom. I didn't even know this was available on the bottom.
Yep, it's there.
Wow.
Also, that Indian scientist who wrote the non-peer-reviewed paper that
top
he retracted
Indian
after
scientist.
Getting feedback from fellow scientists was not a top scientist.
Top Indian
Alex
scientist.
Is just making that up to make that retracted paper seem more credible, which it's not. No one else, except right-wing and conspiracy blogs, are saying the same thing that scientists said. I guess Mike Adams is, but his website is an extremely right-wing conspiracy blog, so he doesn't get to count as other scientists. Factcheck.org actually did talk to other scientists about that paper. Christian Anderson, the director of infectious disease genomics at the Scripps Research Translational Institute, told them that the analyses in the paper were, quote, completely wrong. Anderson said there was a, quote, misunderstanding of how to perform these type of analyses and said that they were just cherry-picking data. Timothy Sheehan, the virologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, told them that if you look at the genome, there are zero signs of human tampering. He said that because, despite what Alex keeps saying on his show, it's not like no one has the genome of it. They did send it out.
Yeah, but you can't trust him. He's only 250th ranked scientist in North Carolina. That doesn't even get you in the ATP tour, Dan.
Another person who studied the virus, Trevor Bedford, a computational biologist at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, actually recreated what the retracted study was attempting to analyze. He found that the things that they were claiming to be inserts in the RNA are actually just mistakes in interpretation made by the Indian researchers. What was claimed to be things added into the RNA were clearly segments of material that are present in closely related SARS-like viruses. He tweeted out all of his materials, too, so if Alex is so desperate to get his hands on it, it's been there on Twitter for at least a week. Alex probably didn't see that, though, because he's been kicked off Twitter.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not really walking around in infospheres that include information.
Yeah. So Alex is dumb. All this is bullshit. But he's saying that we're in a secret war with China. And here's where he fleshes that out a little bit.
Great.
I'm not going to give the U.S. government a pass and say for sure that somebody in the deep state on the American team isn't pissed at enough fentanyl being shipped in every couple months to kill the entire world population. You're like, that's what shipped into the U.S.? Yes, enough to kill the whole world. That means a lot of it's not even getting delivered to the drug addicts. There's just so much of it that one shipment they caught coming in from Mexico would kill 10.6 billion people. That was ours, but other newspapers said 11 billion. That's what broke that.
It was made of mosquitoes.
That was one shipment that would kill 11 million people if they all took an overdose dose. That's why you see homeless everywhere laying out asleep during the day, asleep at night. They're not asleep. They're passed out on fentanyl. So is this how the United States says, we told you to stop that? Here's a race-specific weapon that kills military-age men. You want to kill teenagers, boys, girls, white people, black people, Hispanics, Asians, old, young? We'll just hit you with a race-specific bioweapon. And I've told you, that's the wars of the future. I don't think Trump would do that.
Woo, what a relief. He doesn't think Trump would do that.
Well, fucking now I do. I think Alex would do it.
Yeah, I don't caught into this. I don't appreciate that.
Man, that's such a terrifying thing to hear.
That Alex thinks that fentanyl coming into the country, a fitting response might be to release a race-specific bioweapon on civilians?
Yes, that is a scary thing to hear.
So it's an important question to ask in the midst of this horrific shit that Alex is spewing. This important question is, are race-specific bioweapons real?
No.
The answer is no. And it doesn't seem likely that they will be even in the near future. The basic reason this is the case is that the alleles and genes that contribute to what we call race, it's not just one gene. There are a fuck ton of genes and sequences that make up each person's individual genome, and there's a whole lot of overlap between different groups. There isn't just a one-to-one relationship between genes and race, so the view I've seen thrown around is that you could probably make some kind of an agent that slightly affects a certain group more than another, but it wouldn't be a pronounced difference. It would be in the measure of a couple percentage points.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be effective. Another reason why most evil villains probably would never decide to deploy these hypothetical race-specific bioweapons is that a common feature of viruses is that once they begin to be passed around in human hosts, they mutate. There wouldn't be like an effective way to predict if a race-specificness of a weapon you create would even last one transmission cycle in the wider population. It's just not a good plan, even from an evil logistics standpoint.
No, okay, so if there's one thing I know every biologist says, it's that as long as you have a sample of, say, 1,000 or 2,000 people, you can correctly assume what biological circumstances will arise from 7 billion people experiencing something.
Right.
That's just true. That humans are so similar that you never see wild and massive variations occur for no reason.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Alex has zero evidence that race-specific bioweapons even exist. When he's pressed to the wall and has to cite proof of their existence, the two things he brings up are the Project for a New American Century document and that 1997 speech that Secretary of Defense William Cohen gave. In both of these instances, Alex's primary sources are people trying to justify greater defense spending from the U.S. government. And race-specific bioweapons are a hypothetical threat that they bring up to illustrate the kinds of dangers we may be protecting ourselves from one day. Neither of these sources prove the existence of these sorts of weapons, nor does anything else Alex can point to. They are examples of people trying to get more money into the defense budget.
If it weren't a British show, I would say he watched Utopia, which is basically it's a TV show about a race-specific bioweapon being
released.
Maybe
he did. I don't know.
And it's like these people find a graphic novel that reveals a massive conspiracy to release a race-specific bioweapon to depopulate the Earth.
Maybe,
it's almost
maybe
word
his
for
wife
word.
Likes BBC.
It could be.
So I don't think Alex is good on sources here. I think
Doubtful.
He has a lot of bad bullshit going around. But it turns out there was one source I didn't consider.
The KKK?
I remember being like 7 years old, and they visited us on Christmas. And I remember my grandfather going, they want us to have a nuclear war. The Chinese dictator, whoever it was after Mao died, says he wants us to nuke them because they want to get rid of their population. They're the only group in the world that wants to get rid of them. That's why they fit into this world government scheme to reduce the population. And I'm telling you, they'll release a race-specific weapon and blame it on us. That's the plan. And I've told these stories before on air years ago. But you talk about a visionary, man. My mom's dad was smart.
I'd like to apologize. I didn't know that Alex's grandpa yelled at him when he was 7. I didn't know that he had that kind of high-level source.
I mean, when an old man screams at you about how the government is desiring of a nuclear war and that eventually they will release a race-based bioweapon, you know it's true, Dan.
I didn't realize. I do all this, like, looking into Alex's sources, I didn't realize an old man yelled at him when he was 7.
Did you not email his grandfather for comment?
I did.
That is basic journalistic ethics, Dan.
His grandpa could be old man house phone. We don't know that.
That'd be fun.
So
that would be a fun twist for our the end of our series is just revealing that.
In a good bit here, you know, like a relief. I mean, Alex has already insinuated he doesn't think Trump would do the race-specific bioweapon release.
But it is on the table.
Thankfully, he doubles down on that. Doesn't think that the U.S. is behind this.
Good.
But, I mean, this is just ridiculous.
That looks like something the U.S. would launch. If you're going to be military and you're being hit with fentanyl and millions have died here and China won't stop it, well, you hit military-age men. And it messes up their economy. But we're not going to operate like that. Trump can't even make a phone call to the Ukraine saying, yeah, or get a phone call, great, fight corruption, which is U.S. law. If we give them money, they've got to agree to that. Trump is completely paralyzed other than promoting America and being able to get some good policies in. He can't do covert
like
operations.
What?
And Trump would never sit there
fucking name one,
this, much less have them have that over his head. No way. Did some rogue agency do it? I don't believe so. Do we have stuff on the shelf like this? You better damn well believe it. That's why the Chi-Com stole it out of that Canadian lamp.
They didn't. I do not like that Alex's defense seems to be that Trump wouldn't do this because he can't get away with
it. He would love to do it in a heartbeat, but there's so many people watching him, Dan.
He can't even make this call to Ukraine.
And he's going to have to stay up until 4 a.m. to get people to do his bidding without interference.
Seems to be more of a logistics issue than that would be a gigantic war crime
All
issue.
All right, okay.
Maybe this is why Alex was thrilled with the idea of his guest being Slobodan Milosevic's lawyer.
Dan, everybody knows that God hates cowards. That's the rule.
It's in the Genesis 101.
Genesis 101.
So, I mean, look, this is sensational. This is insane. This the level of hysteria and panic he's trying to build up surrounding this virus, adding these new layers of it's a race-specific bioweapon, maybe a false flag, China's pulling on itself. And, you know, he does a lot of sales for his products, and we get an update on something that is what I would describe as the opposite of a shock.
We're going to go to break. I'm going to tell you what I'm personally doing to fortify my immune system, and it's right here. It's called Immune Gargle, 15 parts per million silver, but it's not regular silver. They can make it a lot higher parts per million for the same price. This is what's judged the best and the safest. It's Immune Gargle. This is what the Pentagon, as we showed you in the documents, had secretly found in their test, Texas A&M, that this is able to knock out the SARS family. I'm not even saying it's going to do that. I'm just saying it's nano silver, it's high quality, and it's ingestible. Not just you can gargle it and spit it out, swallow some of it. It's what I do, and I love it. It sold out. I told you yesterday it was going to sell out. Before the show ended, it was sold out.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder why it sold out. Because you're lying about the product. You know, he's taking these things that are possibly true about the wound gel, the silver wound gel, and he's directly applying those claims to the Immune Gargle in that clip. That is way beyond the realm of acceptable. And of course, your products are selling out. You're embarrassing yourself with this hysteric panic you're engaging in.
He really does make more sense. Like he is an apocalyptic preacher holding wearing one of those box signs on the corner screaming about how everybody's gonna die in hell mixed with the fucking sham wow guy
the yeah
yeah
Vince.
It's, I think, was his fucking name. Yeah, it's Billy. Horrific.
Billy.
No, he was the OxyClean guy.
Right. I know. Yeah. They both yelled a lot.
They did.
So Alex goes to break and he comes back and he takes some calls. And by this point, he's kind of landed on the idea that it's a race-specific bioweapon and China released it on themselves as a false flag.
And the United States probably could have done it if they wanted to.
If they wanted to, it would have been totally cool.
Absolutely.
So he takes calls, and his first caller that he gets is a guy who believes that the U.S. did it, and he doesn't like Alex's theory much.
Okay. We got loaded phone lines here. I'm going to go to Victor in Europe first. He says the U.S. released bioweapon on China. And let's be clear. This is a bioweapon. It is man-made. That's confirmed. It is race-specific.
That is not confirmed.
Why is there such a crazy response? Who would want this to happen? Who would be behind it? What do you think, Victor?
So you see the way he's framing the parameters of what's up for discussion. It's not up for discussion that this is a man-made, race-specific bioweapon.
Confirmed.
Now, did the U.S. do it?
That's a good question.
Alex,
we're going to open up the phone lines.
Alex thinks it's a false flag, and this caller does not agree.
Do you understand that they can inflict the wound on themselves to then get out of the fact they're losing the trade war and get out of the fact that Xi Jinping is so embarrassed and use that as a way to crack down as a police state measure? Does that make sense to you?
It's not the most likely scenario.
My hypothesis in Endgame, 13 years old, is that China and other globalists would launch bio attacks on themselves
as a way to
set the precedent for political and social and medical crackdown. It's not like I'm just saying this today. Why are you saying it's the less possible scenario?
See, Alex is defensive about this guy pushing back on his idea that China false flagged themselves with this this virus. That indicates to me that he's not so much exploring all the angles as he is, this is the position I'm going to put forth, and anybody pushing back on it, I'm going to get kind of petty and meh.
Sir, I don't like the way you said that my idea that I came up with literally 10 minutes ago is not the most likely scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of it 10 minutes ago. That means it's confirmed.
Right. So he gets another caller who thinks that this is a Chinese government psyop of some sort. And maybe it's not even actually happening.
It's not even happening? There we go.
It's actors.
That's a bingo. Yeah. I got a bingo, Dan.
Yeah.
This could be a Chinese communist test for social control, and they've got people out scripting it. You're absolutely right. The way I've seen the left hire AstroTurf, actual firms that are online that hire thousands for events like Charlottesville, we pointed out, and they sue us for saying it when they advertised and hired not people to get the woman killed, that part wasn't staged, but to have the clash. Most of the white supremacists were hired to play the part. And again, nothing against gay people, but you know, guys who are 35 never got an acting job. It was a bunch of little pot-bellied gay dudes in Nazi outfits, you know, out there for the cameras. And you know, a few real Nazis showed up. And I hear what you're saying. God bless you, Maria. All right, when I come back, I'm taking 5 calls in the next segment. It's gonna happen.
It doesn't. Weird that he didn't bring that theory up, which he seems to consistently believe whenever he's just rambling. When he had Richard Spencer on the show, he certainly didn't bring up how he believes that everyone was just a bunch of gay actors that got hired.
He did not say to Richard Spencer's face that, Richard Spencer, you are a fucking liar, and all you did was hire a bunch of pot-bellied, quote, gays.
Right.
Great.
Yeah, this is dumb.
This isn't just offensive. This is like... Get him out of here. Get him the fuck out.
So Alex, he doesn't take 5 calls and he comes back. He is not good at taking calls at all, ever. That's not just today, ever. And he gets ready because he's got Francis Boyle coming up. He got this guy who, you know, drafted this bioweapon legislation back in the late 80s and now is here. Comes on Alex's show all the time, every time there's a public health issue, to say that it's a bioweapon.
It's a bioweapon?
And Alex says something really stupid.
You trust people that have been around a long time, that are there on record with integrity, trying to figure the truth out. It doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean I'm right all the time, but we're right 97%, 98% of the time. Somebody else who's been right a lot is Dr. Francis Boyle, creator of the U.S. Bioweapons Act. He joins us coming up.
He's been right all the time. All of
been a lot of bioweapons.
Zika, Ebola, all of them, bioweapons releases.
Man,
right all the time.
It almost makes you think we don't even have actual diseases. We just have bioweapons created by people.
It's true.
That really is kind of what they think.
The other day I stubbed my toe.
Oh, shit.
Bioweapon.
China?
Yep.
Oh, no, that one was actually Stephen Miller. He could've hates
been.
You.
Yeah, that could have been.
Yeah.
So Alex gets into reading some, giving a pump up for Francis Boyle. And I think he gets a little out of line with his bio.
And this is one of the leading experts in the world, not just on the medical side, the genome and the RNA side, but also on the geopolitical and the UN sources. And he said, look, the UN knows this is a bioweapon.
The way Alex is presenting this interview is explicitly dishonest. There's literally no excuse for him to present Francis Boyle as a leading expert on the medical side of things because he has zero background in science. This is one of the many, many instances of Alex being unable to stop himself from embellishing things to make his narratives less questionable to impressionable listeners. It's not enough for him to present his guest as the guy who was involved in drafting that U.S. statute on bioweapons back in the late 80s, and here's why. The claims that Alex is having Boyle on to make are not at all relevant to that. He is coming on to discuss how the coronavirus is a bioweapon, which has nothing to do with his actual field of expertise, namely law. The content of their conversation won't really be in line with what Boyle has credentials to discuss, so it's pretty important to make up things to add to his resume, like he's a leading expert on the medical side of bioweapons, when he's not at all. In the world of gambling, this is called a tell. The fact that Alex is creating this fictitious aspect of Boyle's knowledge base gives him credibility in a field that he has no involvement in, and that tells you that Alex is creating an illusion, as opposed to reporting or doing a sincere interview. No journalist operating in good faith and according to ethical standards would ever do this, because it sets up the interview that's coming up on a lie, which calls into question literally everything that's said in that interview.
You would think.
Yeah, and it tarnishes Francis Boyle from the jump because he doesn't correct Alex.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus.
Anyway.
I'm waiting for Alex to be like the four amino acids, you know, adenine, guanine, thymine, and China. Mm-hmm. I think it's China.
Yep.
That's the fourth. Amino acids,
probably.
China.
So in this next clip, we get a really interesting glimpse into the fact that Alex recognizes, and probably has pretty much all along, that Trump
is evil.
Kind of an authoritarian.
Yeah.
Trump does have an authoritarian stripe. And
that's bad.
I like an American that takes the country back from globalist. But that's not authoritarian. I like a strong person in the Constitution, not a strong man.
Nothing you say means anything.
That is a nonsense. Just that.
So he comes back from break and gets down to business with Francis Boyle. And I'm here to tell you, this Francis Boyle interview is trash.
Golem.
Hmm?
I was hoping for gold, but apparently it's not.
Yeah, I thought you said golem.
No.
He's not good. There's no information that really comes out of this. There is nothing that Francis Boyle has to say that is groundbreaking. There is nothing that he knows. He just seems like a guy who likes InfoWars.
Yeah, cool.
So here's his main point, I think, that is outside of the stuff that Alex has talked about, and it's troubling.
These BSL-4 facilities, I have no legitimate scientific or medical purpose at all. They have one purpose, and that is to research, develop, test, use, stockpile offensive biological weapons.
Purely offensive.
Purely offensive, although they try to justify it by saying, oh, we're developing vaccines. Well, that might be true, Alex.
Oh, so BSL-4 is biosecurity level 4. And his main argument here seems to be set up like this. He believes that the coronavirus is a bioweapon that was released from the Wuhan biolab because he believes that all biosecurity level 4 labs exist to do is create offensive bioweapons, although he admits in that very clip that they also do research for vaccines.
They claim that's why it's
and that
okay.
Very well may be true.
Oh, well,
it's legitimately
sure.
Stupid shit.
Yeah.
The levels of biosecurity a lab is subject to is related to the relative danger of the things that are studied there. Level 1 is for things that generally don't hurt people who are in good health. Level 2 is for agents that have a little more dangerous side to them and they require slightly heightened precautions, like hepatitis or HIV. Level 3 is for things that could be contracted much easier and can often be transmitted in the air, like SARS or yellow fever. Level 4 is the highest level because the things that would be worked with there are specifically things that can transmit as easily as level 3 agents, but are also potentially deadly and are things for which we have no known treatments or vaccines. So in the past, this would have included things like smallpox and Ebola. Level 4 labs are the level that they are because of the security protocols that are required to work with those agents. It has to do with, like, the airflow in the lab and how that's controlled, how waste is handled, what sorts of protective clothing and gear are required by the researchers. That's what this designation means. These things...
It's not like a ranking of labs. Like, people who work at BSL-4s aren't like, ah, look at those BSL-1s over there, a bunch of douchebags.
They very well
go get a real job, dude.
They might have some sort of, a jocular relationship. I don't know.
Frat boy scientists studying smallpox.
So these things that they're studying and working with in level 4 labs, whether you like it or not, Francis, are things that could be a gigantic threat to people. In the 20th century, over 300 million people died from smallpox. And if it weren't for people doing the work that is done in the conditions of level 4 biosecurity labs, it's unlikely that it would now be eradicated. Francis Boyle can suggest all he want without proof that these biolabs exist only to create offensive biological weapons, but it doesn't mean anything. They clearly serve an important function. And without them, it would basically be impossible to do the sort of work that's required to come up with treatments and preventions for diseases that could be the next plague. Like, it's... I just... What he's saying doesn't make sense.
It is... It's like we don't have any ability to transfer certain fears generationally. You know, like that... There's a generation who was so ravaged by smallpox... They would do anything and everything to help get rid of that disease. And then once the disease is successfully, at the very least, mitigated, the next generation is like, well, you know, smallpox isn't a big deal. It's all bullshit that they're throwing at us. We don't need to worry about this stuff. And everything they tell you about now, it's vaccines that are doing it and all that. It's like if one generation was all it took to rid the entire world of the fear, or of a reasonable fear.
Mm. It's unfortunate.
It's fucked up.
Also, fun fact, any samples that come back to Earth from space, from places that are thought to have ever possibly had habitable environments, they have to be handled at biosecurity level 4 labs. But I guess that's probably just because they're trying to make a space bioweapon, not because the labs are perfectly designed to limit any possible interaction of the Earth's atmosphere with completely foreign things that could be dangerous. So anyway, they serve a number of purposes.
Yeah.
This is just bullshit.
Yeah.
Being spouted by a guy who has no real standing. He doesn't really have any reason. But he might not have any reason to know anything, and it's very unlikely that he has inside information based on him in the past saying, I have no inside information.
Yeah.
But Alex has a source. He has a source that seems contradictory to all the things Alex has been saying already, which is weird.
Good.
That's what my Pentagon sources told me a week and a half ago. They believe it's a leak weapon they were planning for us or others, developing a vaccine for themselves, but somehow they thought it was edited so it would be continuated or however it works, and then it somehow mutated or it didn't work. The live vaccine failed. They don't know. They just believe it was an offensive weapon they were developing a vaccine for that somehow got out. Does that sound accurate?
That's correct.
So for this entire show, Alex has been saying that he believes that this was a false flag, race-specific bioweapon, the attack that the Chinese government pulled on themselves to save face because Trump is so great that they're being humiliated in a trade war and so they could depopulate the country, all these various thoughts. Now, Alex is saying that his fake Pentagon sources told him that this was a bioweapon that was being developed to be used against us, that the Chinese lab was creating a vaccine for that accidentally got out. This is a direct contradiction of literally everything else he has said on this episode. If the Chinese are making this bioweapon to use against us, that kind of contradicts the race-specific bioweapon stuff. If they're creating a vaccine, that kind of contradicts the goal of depopulating China. If it accidentally got out of the lab, that contradicts the stuff about it being an intentional release by the Chinese government. This isn't a situation where Alex is considering multiple possibilities. This is him, within the span of a few hours, pretending to credibly report two entirely incompatible narratives.
Right.
These two things cannot both be true. Yet one of them he's pitched based on hard science, quote unquote, and the other is not a theory. It's what his totally real Pentagon sources told him. I have a very strong feeling that Alex is having a field day, selling shit off of the virus panic that he's creating. And because of that, he doesn't really give a shit if the things he's saying about the outbreak are internally self-contradictory. It doesn't matter because his audience is very dumb and they won't notice super glaring problems with his narratives like this. It's all just building fear, and he's willing to do it however he can because fear translates directly into money.
I will say that you do not need to give me any information on Boyle's background. If all you did was play me a clip where Alex said that string of nonsense, and then he said, that's correct, Alex, then I'm like, oh, okay, clearly everything is bullshit. Mm-hmm. If you just say that's correct to Alex Jones, regardless of if he's just like,
it's a dicey move.
Is this the movie where Will Smith is in it? I'm not going to say that's correct. I'm going to be like, what movie are you fucking talking about? You give me all the information first.
You might be being led down a path.
Exactly.
So Alex, he's talking to Boyle. And one of the things I noticed pretty clearly was that all he really has to go on is that Indian paper that got retracted. Yeah. I think that's pretty clear here.
Just remember, major Indian lab comes out, says it's had the HIV delivery system welded onto it. They don't deny
welded.
That. They just remove it under pressure. And
that's
now the
works.
U.S. government and others won't send out the RNA sequencing of this so people can tell how to test it. Because when they get that, they look at it, and even low-level labs can go, oh, my God, this is phony, the $3 bill. We'll get Dr. Bull's take on that. If that's accurate, that's what others are saying. Straight ahead. Stay with us.
That's not accurate, and all of it's nonsense.
So he does believe that the BSL 1 through 1, 2, 3, 4 are like, even BSL 2s can see that this is bullshit.
No,
man.
No. Lower level labs, meaning like smaller universities or something.
Okay.
But so Alex wants to act like he's just operating off this retracted Indian paper that's been roundly criticized by other scientists. And he wants to know what Boyle thinks of it. And here's what Boyle thinks of it.
I read that study when it came out. It was convincing to me, including the pictures. Obviously, I believe the Chinese government put pressure on the Indian government to take it down. So it was taken down.
That's based on his thoughts. So you asked me last time Boyle came up if he was an active teacher, and it appears that he is. And so I wanted to get a sense of what kind of a teacher he was. So I consulted the website Rate My Professors, where Boyle has received 18 ratings with an average of 2.7 out of 5.
Too high.
One review says, quote, more of a conspiracy theorist, but still a fun, interesting lecture every time. Another says, quote, this is a great class if you want to get some credit and not have to go to class, but the class itself doesn't have a lot of substance.
Fair.
Another reviewer says, quote, this course teaches you nothing.
I want to take this course.
This next one sounds just about right. Quote, I learned nothing in a semester of jurisprudence, except a lot of tinfoil hat ranting about the Pope and Newt Gingrich. He will use a mic in a small lecture hall, then scream into it the entire class. Expect migraines, and worse than 1L belittling over questions with no answers. Don't expect actual legal philosophy or history.
It is really tough to get rid of a tenured professor, isn't it?
Yep. That is the basic thing here. Also, they're doing a video Skype interview, Alex and Francis, and his office looks like a tornado just passed through it. Far be it from me to judge. I don't keep a tidy house very well, but his office is another level. It looks like an episode of Hoarders.
Okay.
It's a red flag. Alex should go to audio.
There's only one question I want to know the answer to.
What's that?
Is there an unhung picture?
Probably.
Oh.
So they get to talking about the idea of race-specific bioweapons.
Sure.
And Francis Boyle believes they are real. And what do you know? He's got the same source that Alex does.
As to your point on ethnic-specific biological weapons, yes, we've tried to develop them here in the United States under the influence of the neocons who believe in these things. That's in the PNAC report.
This is just based on the Project for a New American Century document, but Rebuilding America's Defenses, which does not prove that these things are real. And again, it was a justification to increase the defense spending budget of the United States.
Yeah.
It is an example of a hypothetical threat.
It was evil in its own way, but not in the way they're portraying it.
So it's interesting to me in this sense that, like, Francis Boyle does believe, using the same sources that Alex uses, that these race or ethnic specific bioweapons do exist. However, he does not believe that that is true in this case.
At this point, I was considering race-specific and with the
but if Chinese and blacks are so different, then that would kind of preclude that.
I think that is my conclusion, Alex. That's correct. So I don't think this is that.
So a black person got it. So now it's not a race.
I just don't know how to handle people this dumb because this is a combination.
It's tough.
Of This is one of those times where you see Alex being unequivocally stupid and evil.
Yeah.
He is. And this racist. Is the dumbest possible shit that he is also using to sell in an evil way and be a fucking bigoted nightmare.
I mean, you should know that he feels a little bit bad about selling stuff. I mean,
I don't want to care.
I almost feel opportunistic.
Oh,
when I'm positioned with the very nano silver that the Pentagon and Homeland Security has said has been proven to take out SARS.
Nope.
But you know what? I've been selling it for years because I go out and find out whatever the best product is. Show people this shot, please.
Oh, do you feel opportunistic, Alex?
Is he going to show us like the date that he started selling it?
No, he just flashes up the same information about the silver wound.
God damn it.
You are opportunistic. This is 100% opportunistic. This is a disgrace. And you're doing it with the food, too.
I had talks 2 weeks ago with the owner and the founder and the CEO and all that. And they're just like, do you think we should keep buying more food or should we just sell out? What do you think we should do? Because it's hard to buy food when it goes up in price. And I said, I believe you should put everything you have into buying more food. I believe this is probably real. I don't want to tell my audience that. Let's wait and see. But they'll have food they eat anyways. And sure enough, unfortunately, you see this is serious. So it's good to be prepared. Infowarsstore.com. It funds our independent Maverick operation.
Oh, wow. Magically, sales are through the roof for my Patriot Supply. And, hey, you know, my narratives are getting way worse.
I don't want to feel opportunistic.
And, hey, what do you know? We find out this is real. Oh, my God. It's so terrible.
What a great coincidence for me at a time when I really needed it.
Yeah.
It just works out.
Like clockwork. So Alex is talking to Francis Boyle, and he still was on hold while Alex was selling his shit. Is disgraceful.
That is rough.
You can't feel great about that.
No.
And so he goes back to Boyle and he wants to ask, like, how bad is this gonna get?
From your sources at the UN, from your own research, how bad is this?
Well, Alex, you had this so-called tabletop computer game at Johns Hopkins.
Oh, Bill Gates again, 65 million dead.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
And Johns Hopkins is a well-known center for the neocons who fully support biological weapons and even ethnic specific biological weapons. You
based
can read that in their PNAC report. That tabletop exercise, which is really a war game, resulted in 65 million deaths. That's the only figure I have seen that seems to be credible as to where this could lead. I mean, we could be dealing something here as bad as the Spanish flu virus. I lost a grandmother a century ago to the Spanish flu virus. So that, Alex, I guess is a worst case scenario. I'm not here to scare anyone or get anyone to panic. I'm just
65 million dead.
The best analysis
I agree.
Look, the problem is, like, I don't care what your motives are, and you, Francis Boyle, specifically not wanting to scare people, you are a guest espousing things on a program where the guy is trying to scare people.
Uh-huh.
So you are being used as a tool to scare people, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because for the most part, you know, Boyle is accused of being like more left in his conspiracy theories, more on the left side of things.
Sure.
And it makes you realize that maybe a lot of people have very similar information that comes to them, whether it be from a left perspective or a right perspective in terms of conspiracy theory communities. Because he's using all of the same talking points as Alex.
Right.
This Johns Hopkins tabletop exercise that we talked about that has not real applicability to the actual outbreak that ended up happening after it. Like, he's using these same touchstones, the PNAC document, the all of it is the same.
Right.
He has the same interpretation of the Indian study that was retracted. He's using this Bill Gates, Johns Hopkins tabletop exercise, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's really weird to me because, I mean, he wants Trump impeached.
Right.
He has very different politics, it seems, than Alex.
Yeah.
They come together on the conspiracies about a new world order or something.
A bad foundation doesn't really matter what kind of, I guess, point of view you have after that.
I guess not.
A bad foundation is still going to crumble.
Yep. So it's suspicious that Trump isn't doing anything if there's a bioweapon afoot or something.
He must be in on it. I assume that's their angle, right? If Trump's not doing anything.
I don't know. This is dumb.
then how is Trump wrong? Give us the nuance in praising Xi.
I believe President Trump was misadvised that under no circumstances.
You're saying he's not being advised that it's a bioweapon. That's your problem.
That's correct. I don't believe he has been advised that it is a bioweapon or that this is a turbocharged bioweapon. I just don't believe he understands it. The scientific advisors he has around him, you know, these are institutional. No,
very well said. I agree with your statement.
So, but I thought you had Pentagon sources who were telling. How does this track? How does this make any sense? Alex is pretending he has Pentagon sources that are feeding him this information about it being a bioweapon and all this shit, but somehow Trump's advisors just won't tell him.
Yep.
None of this tracks.
Trump is the smartest, strongest, most powerful, most successful president. However, it does seem like every time he wants to do something that Alex does like, he's been foiled
right.
by an advisor or two.
A globalist who's infiltrated.
He is the best president in history. It does seem like every time he wants to do something, though, his advisors are giving him bad information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Boyle's point is, like, get rid of these biosafety level 4 research centers because
they're just attack.
And then at that point, I guess get rid of 3, 2 and then maybe yeah. 2 and then 1. Get rid of all research.
I say get rid of tanks as well while we're at it.
Why not?
Yeah.
So Alex he wraps up the interview and now he's adopted that as his sort of talking point, which is weird.
This is just insane. And they all do it in the name of safety. Like, we all have guns in our houses in the name of safety. But they're not locked up right or somebody bad gets them, they can cause a problem. But that's okay. Just a few people get killed. That's part of being free. Bad stuff happens. And overall, the good outweighs the bad that we're free and empowered and it's good.
So this makes no sense. The argument Alex is trying to lay out here is that the man says they're working on vaccines and treatments in these bio labs for the sake of public safety. And that's why, you know, you keep a gun in the house for safety. And, you know, if guns aren't handled appropriately, people end up dying. And that's just the cost of being free. But the benefits outweigh the costs. How is that not totally analogous to biolabs?
I don't understand.
If security protocols aren't followed strictly and appropriately, some of this research can pose a danger. And in those cases, it can result in some deaths.
Sure.
It's pretty hard to dispute the fact that advancements in vaccine science have absolutely outweighed the costs of any of this research. And if you don't agree with that, I would suggest you look into some of the conditions that don't exist anymore that are basically nightmare diseases. Alex can't even figure out how to be against this shit at this point. He wants to say it's a race-specific bioweapon that the Chinese false flagged themselves with, but then he talks to Boyle, and Boyle's not into that argument. Boyle is all about attacking these biolabs. So now Alex has to pivot or disagree with Boyle and risk destroying the thin veneer of credibility he has as an expert. If Alex disagrees with Boyle, he's no longer useful in any way to validate his narratives about how scared people need to be, and thus why they need to buy his product, so that is not an option. And thus, Alex has to now be against these biolabs. It's just a mess because Alex doesn't prepare and he has no idea what he's talking about. And these aren't topics you can really just wing.
Yeah. I imagine that if the biolabs made a gun that shot viruses, Alex would be in real trouble.
He'd love it.
He'd be like, oh, I love these guns, but I'm against these labs. I don't know.
So now Boyle's gone and Alex gets to do what he really wants to do, which is ramble about the Bible.
There we go.
It's not fiction written by some Hebrews. It's direct divine knowledge, folks. Yeah, no, God would say, no, I'll actually do it. I'll come down there. I'll show you how it's done. I'll walk a mile in your shoes right now. May I do it? I'll do it right now. In fact, I won't just physically take the torture and all of it. I will take all of the sin on so that I metaphysically then can forgive you and take you on, because that's how the universe works. It's energetic. And God's got to be that sacrificial lamb that goes between the two to then, because you can't have new free will creatures given that much power who aren't going to mess up and do evil stuff. But they've just got to make the spiritual decision to go with God, and then God will cheat the rest of the way to take us over. And you know, at this level, God's going to take folks over that are still turning against God.
You know, I
don't want to get into stuff, but I've seen the next levels, okay? And they're indescribable. And this isn't just like the simplification people hear in all this, but there's a lot of rebellion going on against the nature of the universe.
So this is the guy that anybody who's listening wants to take cues on science from. I think that's good. I think that's wise.
You shouldn't even take cues on religion from it.
No.
I know. This is such the same thing of like, I don't think anybody hates the Constitution more than Alex
Constitutionalists.
Jones. Yeah. And I don't think anybody hates the Bible more than people who talk about the Bible. The book of Job is like 90%. You don't know why I do a goddamn thing, so don't ask me.
Mm.
That's the whole book.
I don't know if he's read it. So Alex starts talking about Trump saying bullshit in that speech because Alex is still really excited about it.
Still loving it.
So excited about it.
It's good stuff.
And he's like, hey, it's great. It's great that he said it. And you get these highfalutin Southern Baptist Christians. And he's like, they're all against swearing.
Yeah.
I think he says something.
Bunch of nerds.
This is nonsensical.
I've got a lot of family, a lot of great people, and I love Southern Baptists. But they'll tell you a cuss word is worse than aborting a baby. I mean, they won't say that, but they get more upset about a cuss word or drinking some wine than they will about aborting a baby. It's like a lot of family are Southern Baptist, and it's a holiness they have about them.
Talk to your fucking family, then. I don't know who these Southern Baptists are I don't know. I don't care. He's just complaining about his family. Anyway, the bullshit thing becomes a little bit of a theme, and Alex starts talking about some etymology, and I think he might be a little off.
Is he trying to tell us where the word bullshit comes from?
And it's pretty great.
Okay, let's hear it.
You know, the truth is, the Bible doesn't say using Old English before the Norman took over almost 1,000 years ago, before the Vikings took over England. They came in and they banned the entire language of the Saxon. But it was only the cuss words that continued on, the classic things people would say, like bullshit. They found 2,000-year-old plaques that say something is BS. And what they, with the Anglo-Saxon, would call something, for whatever weird reason they had, BS.
2,000-year-old Anglo-Saxons, Dan. Dan, 2,000-year-old Anglo-Saxons.
Linguists have traced the origin of the word bullshit to 1915.
I was going
to
say, it's like a week ago.
Its earliest use in print being T.S. Eliot's poem, The Triumph of Bullshit. This was considerably after the time of Old English and the Anglo-Saxons.
I would say it was even after the time of the Norman invasions.
Totally.
Yeah.
There are some suggestions that the word bull had connotation with the idea of something being nonsense, but that's most likely due to the old French word for fraud, which is boule. I very strongly think that Alex is just making shit up to try and make it seem more important that Trump said bullshit in a speech because he's really, really hung up on that. So Alex is really convinced that it's old English stuff and somehow about free speech issues or something. I don't know. But he really gets excited about this and he ends up working himself up into a frenzy where he swears and they have to cut it out of the butt.
That's so funny.
There's a delicious
irony. Yeah.
You know, I like all those Anglo-Saxon words. Tony Montana likes one of them. It goes with an F. He uses it a lot. It sounds good, doesn't it?
Friend.
It's a good word. It actually describes it, too. It's got a lot of different meanings, like you got, or I'm gonna, or that was a great. I mean, it's got a lot of meanings. It's a nice word.
That was
Why
a great.
I'm so scared of it. Oh,
this is a family show, dude.
We're all, but we didn't do anything about 50 million, 60 million dead babies. We didn't do anything about all this other stuff. We just sat around and felt good and went to church because we were so good all day. What old shit.
What a lush shit.
I like too that they misedited
They misedited it, yeah. They got rid of the bull. It's like when they used to bleep out the hole in asshole, and you're like, what are you idiots doing?
What's so great about that is that I didn't edit that. That's how the show came out. And so clearly
the delay
they
was
recognized that, like, all right, Alex is on a rant about how he's going to use swearing because the president did.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Man.
What a dick.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That is funny.
But I can't put it like strongly enough to capture Alex's feelings. He loves that Trump said bullshit.
The pedophiles taking over is the enemy, not the president using old English, 1,000 years old, not spoken by any Norman nobility and captured England. That is the most Anglo-Saxon. We Scottish, but he even gets it more. That is the sexiest thing I've seen in a while. Politically.
Politically.
He's been people are fucking insane. I thought there's no bottom, and somehow this bottom is even weirder. Yeah, this is a completely different well of no bottom.
Trump saying bullshit is the sexiest thing.
What is this?
It's so Anglo-Saxon.
Why do we live in 2020?
I don't know.
I want to live elsewhere.
Yeah.
I want to live, I don't know, 2,000 years ago with my other Anglo-Saxon brothers, Dan.
Yeah. So Alex takes a couple calls, and they're not really notable at all, but then he's like, I can't get to the rest of these calls. And he says something absurd, but I think he thinks it's true.
Kevin and Sarah and Elaine, I respect you. I appreciate you. I didn't have time to get to you. We took like over 30 calls. Owen Schroyer promises that right when the war room starts in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, he's going right to your calls first.
He said he took 30 calls. He probably took 5.
Okay.
But I think he thinks he took 30 calls.
Yeah, of course he does.
I think he thinks it's like, I knocked it out of the park. And I actually didn't even cut a clip of this because I just thought, like, oh, who cares? I don't really give a shit. But earlier in this show, he said yesterday we took 40 calls.
Yeah.
He did not, on the day before this show, take 40 calls.
I do like
he
that
has
he's...
He has this perception that he's getting a lot more done than he actually is, which may be universal.
He's not just rewriting world events, but his own events as well.
Yeah, that he's in the middle of.
Yeah, he lives an entirely fictional life.
Yeah, definitely.
That's fascinating.
So this,
and he should be in a home or somewhere to help him.
This is the last clip from February 7th on this Friday show. And I think up to this point, we've seen like real indications that Alex is irresponsibly and possibly against regulations selling his immune gargle.
Yeah.
And I think that this clip, he's dead to rights. He is breaking advertising laws.
Fighting the info war while at the same time preparing yourself and your family is a 360 win. We have our main 16-ounce super silver with nano silver that's been documented by the Pentagon to take out the SARS family of viruses, which is the same as this one. It is sold out. We have the 1 ounce about to sell out. The 3 ounce still available. It'll be sold out at current rates in about a week and a half.
This is the most explicit I've seen where he's talking about a condition and a product, which are the two constituent pieces that you need to be making a health claim.
Yep.
From everything I've read up on and I understand about how the FDA regulations work, this is a breach of, or at least he's making a health claim, and now he needs to notify the FDA and he has 30 days to substantiate that claim.
Yeah.
So good luck.
This needs to happen. It's unfathomable to me that he would be so wiped out financially by his misconduct with Sandy Hook and that situation. And then claw his way out of it by illegally selling products.
Well, actually, that makes total sense.
It does make sense. And that's why it cannot be allowed to happen. He needs to be stopped with this. So this is fucked up.
I would have just stopped there and have an episode about the 7th. And this sort of development of Alex being like, this is a race-specific bioweapon and the Chinese are asking for it because their genome is all the same. Like, whoa, what the fuck? Because that's a departure. And the way he's normalizing the discussion of a hypothetical release of biological weapons is totally unacceptable. But then I saw that he did this emergency broadcast on the 8th.
Yeah.
And this is wild stuff. Here's how it starts.
And my friends, we are here with you on Saturday afternoon with an emergency broadcast. President Trump announced through his chief science advisor, who heads up major federal agencies, Anthony S. Fauci, that they are investigating the novel coronavirus out of China as a man-made biological weapon, and they called for other scientific institutes and the general scientific community, as well as governments and the media, to look into that.
So this is a story that has one source, and it's Zero Hedge, which has really been on the leading end of,
lying.
You know, well, spreading completely false information about the coronavirus in the past month, which has led to them being kicked off Twitter after accusing a Chinese scientist of creating the virus and doxing him. Wonder if they're getting any ad revenue from My Patriot Supply. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not even going to ever listen to Zero Hedge, so I checked out their site, and I wanted to find their source on this story. It turns out their source is an ABC News article with the headline, quote, White House asks scientists to investigate origins of coronavirus. Important note, this is not breaking news that requires an emergency Saturday show for Alex. This article was published on February 6th, which was Thursday, prior to his Friday show. He had no idea this even happened until one of his interns found the Zero Hedge article.
Yep.
Just a shitty process for a news outlet. The first paragraph of this ABC News story is this. Quote, the White House on Thursday asked U.S. scientists and medical researchers to investigate the scientific origins of the novel coronavirus as misinformation about the outbreak spreads online. That doesn't sound like they're coming out and saying that this is a bioweapon, but I guess that's, you know, how Alex wants to frame it. It's certainly his right to lie.
That should have been very obvious that the article about how information is being spread, disinformation is being spread, is used, of course, to spread disinformation.
Naturally.
Yeah.
This article is literally about the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, Kelvin Drogemeyer, being worried about that retracted Indian paper, which, quote, had shown the urgency for accurate information about the genesis of this outbreak. This guy was worried about how this paper, which was deeply flawed and retracted, had resulted in a barrage of misinformation, and wanted to make sure that the National Academy of Sciences was able to answer the questions people had, which led them to accept this deeply flawed and retracted paper as accurate. Important to keep in mind, that paper is one of Alex's only sources for the claims that he makes that this is a bioweapon. The only thing close to helping Alex's narrative here, which is coincidentally the part of that ABC News article that Zero Hedge quotes, is from Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He's asked, quote, about concerns that stem from misinformation online that the novel coronavirus could have been engineered or deliberately released. His response is, quote, there's always that concern, and one of the things that people are doing right now is very carefully looking at sequences to see if there's even a possibility, much less likelihood, that that's going on. And you could ultimately determine that. So people are looking at it, but right now the focus is on what we're going to do about what we have. That would be something that scientists would rule out, and it makes sense that this guy would say that. However, there's a big difference between what he's saying and Alex's decision that this definitely is a bioweapon, which he absolutely has determined, definitively, for sure, it's been proven, check the white papers, it's in the WikiLeaks. This article is about a White House official calling for a meeting of experts to collaborate, largely inspired by the flood of misinformation related to the Indian paper that is the basis for Alex's reporting. In essence, this is about the White House wanting to push back on the very thing that Alex is engaging in, which makes it kind of ironic that he read a twisted version of this article in Zero Hedge and then decided to do an emergency show on Saturday about it to declare a victory. Wild.
I'm telling you, we need to start this media consulting. So here's what we're going to do. We've got this consulting firm for just science. And what'll happen is anytime a journalist calls looking for a quote, the scientists will then call us and they'll say, here's my reasonable response to this question. And I will say, do not say that.
Right.
Absolutely do not say
They're
that.
That is, field day
that is that. A very reasonable response. I understand it and you understand it, but they are going to go nuts with it.
Yeah.
So let's try this. No.
Right. So in that article, there's two things going on. The first is the main point of the article is about this Kelvin Drogemeyer, who's the head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy. He's the one who's called for scientists to get together and work on this plan.
Sure.
Work on information.
Like an evil globalist.
Anthony Fauci is unrelated to that. He is just another person that ABC News consulted for a comment.
Sure.
But he is the person who is quoted in the Zero Hedge article because he has comments that are closer to what the narratives they want to push are. So Alex believes that this entire article is about Anthony Fauci, and he is the one who called for the scientists to. This is funny. This is actually really funny. It's sad, but it's funny.
And yes, we've got the White House main spokesperson, the main scientist, President Trump didn't appoint him like John P. Holdren, Obama did, the eugenicist who called for population reduction. That was John P. Holdren, not Anthony Fauci. So Trump didn't appoint an official science czar, but Fauci is his chief science advisor.
So Anthony Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
His chief science advisor, correct?
He's just someone who was interviewed to provide a little extra to that ABC News article. The person in the White House who called for the meeting of experts was the head of Office of Science and Technology Policy. But Alex doesn't know that because he read a different article. He didn't read the article. All he knows was in the Zero Hedge article, and they don't mention that dude. They don't mention the Office of Science and Technology Policy dude. They only talk about Fauci because, like I said, he's the one who's closest to their narratives.
Yeah.
Also, Trump didn't appoint Anthony Fauci to any position at all. He's been in the National Institutes of Health since 1968, and he's been the head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984, as long as I've been alive.
Wow.
Yeah. He was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2008, for fuck's sake.
Oh, man. Look, I'm sure this dude's doing a great job.
Sure.
Too old. Get him out of there. Get him out of there.
I saw some pictures of him. He looks fine.
I'm sure he is.
Trump did appoint the guy who's the head of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, and that guy, Kelvin Drogemeyer, is his main science advisor, but he is not Anthony Fauci. Alex has no idea what he's talking about because he doesn't prepare and he just does bad work. Also, John P. Holdren might have been called a science czar, but his official title was, you guessed it, Director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, exactly the same as this other dude.
Yeah.
Nothing Alex says means anything.
Nope.
But it's really fun.
It's really
fun when you realize, like, Alex doesn't know shit.
It's
so glaring.
It's such a real bummer, the whole, like, when czars became a thing during Bush's second term, whenever everybody's doing czars now. I got to hear about czars all the time.
Get a
real job, God damn it.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex editorializes a little bit about Anthony Fauci here. It's just so funny. It's so funny. It's great.
And Fauci was asked at a press conference. There's people saying this is man-made. You want to shut that down? He goes, no, that's always the big concern. And we're looking for people to investigate that and where it came from, because it's very unusual.
I read you all the comment from the ABC News article. That is a grave mischaracterization of his comments.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was, I don't even know if he was at a press conference. Because, like, as it reads in the article, it just seems like a correspondent from ABC News asked him this.
Yeah.
It's not specified. It's in a press conference. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I think Alex is just making this shit up, which makes it funny that he says things like this.
And I just got to point out, what we've reported, what our guests have reported, has turned out to be deadly accurate. And, I mean, basically to the numbers. Because we don't make stuff up. We really work around the clock to try to bring you the best info.
That ABC News article would have taken you 3 minutes to read, and you didn't do that. You just read something on Zero Hedge and was like, okay, fine. I don't have to find out where this came from. Dumbass.
I don't think I've ever seen a terminal case of Dunning-Kruger.
Oh.
But I think this is going to get him killed.
So this is really funny, man, because, okay, so he's building this up that he thinks that Anthony Fauci is the main science advisor of the Trump, and he's just he's blowing the whistle. He's saying this is man-made.
Yes, yeah. It's not him.
No, no. But so this is not a name that has ever come up on the show before. This is not somebody that Alex has ever cared about, but it turns out Alex has been aware of him for
of
a long time.
He has.
Now let's look at the facts. The president, through his medical spokesperson, who's very respected, made a lot of calls about Fauci in the last few months, or knew who he was, and they say he's very respected, a quote, legend.
Yeah, he is.
A quote.
He is very respected.
He's very respected.
Alex has made calls about him in the past few months. This is ridiculous. This is so sad. Like, this is, you see this and you see, like, a teenager bluffing a book report.
Totally.
This is, like,
totally a teenager bluffing.
He's a 45-year-old man lying about a public health crisis.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ.
The exact same, like, sort of dodging, having to do work behaviors are being manifested here, but the stakes are very high. He has a ton of listeners that he's misleading about his products in order to sell silver and food buckets. But it's still really funny the way he's acting.
Oh, man.
The way he's acting is funny. The consequences, not so much.
Yeah. But it's like, he's so fucking confident.
Yeah.
He's so goddamn confident in something that is just entirely fictional.
It's so easy to see through if you just, like, take the second step.
Just read one article.
Yeah.
Just read the ABC thing.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Unreal.
Yeah. So, Alex, I want to play this clip because I think this is a really perfect demonstration of the shitty game Alex plays with headlines.
So here's the headlines. Infowars.com. White House asked scientists to investigate if coronavirus was bioengineered. Well, but don't believe us. I've got even ABC News with the same headline. White House asked scientists to investigate origins of coronavirus. ABC News.
You see how the game is played. Alex's headline from InfoWars is just a reposting of the article from Zero Hedge with a little spin added to it, with added implications that the White House is specifically interested in investigating this as a bioweapon. That's an unfair reading of the actual article, but it's in line with the Zero Hedge article. The Zero Hedge article is based on the ABC News story, which it's misrepresenting by only focusing on and distorting the quote from Anthony Fauci in order to create their spin. You have this base story from ABC News, which has spin added by Zero Hedge, which is then reposted with added spin by InfoWars. And now Alex is reporting on that story on his show. To add credibility to his story, he says even ABC News is reporting on this and points to the ABC News article that was the basis for the Zero Hedge story and secondarily for his own report. This entire story is just propaganda spinning an ABC News story for their own purposes. So it's a little weak to then say that ABC News even agrees with us on this. An honest outlet would just cover the ABC News article directly and accurately. And then, if they wanted to give added focus to Fauci, they're welcome to do that in an appropriate fashion. What Zero Hedge and Alex are doing is blatant bullshit. And I say that, much like Trump, to indicate that this is serious. If you want to see how blatant this shit is, consider this.
No longer can the tail wag the dog. So here we are, reporting on it first again, and it's basically the exact same headline.
First!
That ABC News has, because they can't cover this up anymore.
The ABC News article is the source for the Zero Hedge article, which Alex is reporting on, but he's pretending that he put this article out and then ABC News was forced to stop covering up and report on this. This is brazen shit, even for my Alex. Like, you can just see the dates on stuff. Like, it's not...
This is absolutely disinformation metastasizing. Like, you just watch this cancer grow. Mm-hmm. It's horrific.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Now, this is really great.
So depressing.
This is really great because Alex, in that last clip, you can very clearly see that he thinks that his actions caused this ABC News article.
That's not how even...
The cover-up, how bad it really is, where it's going, what Trump should do. Dr. Boyle saying Trump must take action, investigate it as man-made. 5 hours later, his head scientist comes out and gives a press conference. Not saying we did that. I told the audience, call the White House. You did that. And let's toot our own horn.
Don't toot your own horn, because there's a problem with this theory. That interview with Francis Boyle happened on February 7th, and he's trying to pretend that in response to that interview, everybody called the White House, and then Trump had his science expert announce they were investigating this as a bioweapon. Leaving aside that Trump didn't do that, the ABC News article he's basing that narrative on was published on February 6th. The article predates Alex's interview with Francis Boyle. This is just a pathetic display of narcissism and embarrassing. act of being wrong about basic details.
Not since the Saxons were invaded by the Normans in 2064 seen such lies.
Well, get ready.
Okay.
Because we're about to outdo ourselves.
Oh, God.
Alex has a guest.
So joining us on this emergency Saturday transmission
Don't say
is
Mike
Adams.
God damn it!
Mike, thanks for holding for the last few minutes while I was ranting. What should we hit first? Just give us a prime approximation, because you've been the most accurate person yet on this.
It's over for humanity. We will only be lone survivors.
You son of a bitch.
Okay, I
knew that. I admit that.
Cut it that way. That one's on me. He doesn't say that. So Alex has Mike Adams on because he's the most accurate player in the game, right? Here's what he has to say.
First of all, anyone in the tech industry or the mainstream media that is pushing censorship of those of us who are telling the truth about this, those organizations are complicit in the deaths that are going to continue to occur even outside of China. They are, in essence, rooting for the virus by denying people accurate information that we need in order to be safe, to be prepared, to self-isolate, to avoid joining crowds, you know, to stay off the cruise ships and all the things that people need to do to stop the spread. So the left-wing media wants this to spread. The tech giants want it to spread.
So now the stakes of him getting back on Facebook are, if you don't let me back on Facebook, you are on the side of the coronavirus.
I will take that challenge, Mike. Please self-isolate. Put yourself
in a small container.
I just say, grow up.
Ugh.
Ridiculous. I know you want back on Facebook, but this is getting embarrassing.
Yeah, this is a tantrum.
So Alex and him talk about like, hey, you know, like, hey, these people are creating these bioweapons.
Sure.
Maybe people should kill them.
No.
Well, I'm going to stop you, Mike, and I want you to start over, but I'm not trying to act tough saying execute them. If I was breeding a weapon that could kill a billion people in my garage and knew I was doing it, I mean, I deserve to be killed. I mean, I'm just at a point, I'm just, the default is people making race-specific weapons and stuff, it's already outlawed, don't do it, or a mob's going to come and lynch your ass. I mean, I'm just at a certain point, it needs to stop.
So, I mean, of course, I would agree with him that if people are creating race-specific bioweapons, then they should be put up on trial for war crimes.
Yeah!
I don't think it's healthy to, you know, do a show where you're saying that anybody who's researching vaccines is secretly trying to create offensive race-specific bioweapons and then be like, at a certain point, mobs are going to come lynch you all.
That's a nonsense. Even for him, that's ridiculous. Because okay, so then we get to that line again of like, okay, well, what's the level of a horrific weapon that deserves a lynch mob?
Sure.
Should Oppenheimer be hung? Sure. How about fucking Smith and Wesson?
Alex would
how
say, about absolutely that? Not.
Yeah, well, what's the fucking, yeah.
Right, I mean, that's one very real logistical concern.
Yeah.
But more to the point, he's sort of implying that people should kill scientists.
He's pretty seriously saying that, yes.
Yeah. So Mike Adams is really dumb, and a lot of his information is really stupid. And one of the things that you can really tell that by is things that he cites. Here's a prime example.
Neil Ferguson of Imperial College London is now out there estimating 50,000 infections per day right now in China. Those are his estimates, not mine.
I don't really care what Neil Ferguson thinks about the outbreak. For one, he's a guy who's been a past InfoWars guest, so he's suspicious right out of the gates.
If he said that's correct, Alex, then he's already done in my book.
Second, he's a professor of humanities with a degree in history and philosophy. He has no real standing here as an expert, so naturally he's the sort of person Mike is citing as an expert on virology and epidemiology and virus expansion rates. Neil Ferguson has no standing here. He's not somebody who you cite as an expert in public health issues, but he's a past InfoWars guest, and he's saying what they want somebody to say, and he worked at the Imperial College, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You can't cite Neil Ferguson here.
And not just that. If it's not, you can't have 50,000 a day. What would happen is you'd have 50,000 a day, and then 50,000 the next day, and then 200,000, and then 1,000,000, and then we'd all be fucking dead. If you're talking 50,000 new cases per day,
right,
that's going to progress geometrically in a way that is impossible to deal with.
Right.
That's not a thing.
Right. But, I mean, Neil Ferguson, he's a professor of history, so.
Oh, okay. So he's watched.
So you're wrong.
Oh, fair enough.
Anyway, that's just a really good example of, like, who cares?
Yeah.
What you're saying, who cares?
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that seriously.
Yeah.
And then second, like, it's just all over the place. Everything is flawed. All of their primary sources, all of their data is useless.
If the death rate is 15 to 17%, which I will lay out here in a minute, China has admitted it, by the way, in a press conference, they accidentally admitted it, then Neil Ferguson's estimates, Professor Ferguson, his estimates of 50,000 new infections a day translates to 7,500 deaths a day.
Right here, I believe that what he's talking about is that Tencent website glitch is where you get the revelation of this higher mortality rate. And then you've got Neil Ferguson's humanities professor prediction.
Sure.
It's not worthwhile. So those are the two pieces so far.
In China over the next few weeks. Because it takes time for people who are infected to start dying.
And by the way, what did that Lancet study say about the spread rate and the infection rate and the death rate?
83% infection rate for those who are exposed, 15% mortality rate in the Lancet study.
That Lancet study was not applicable to the general population. That was a study of people who presented with the pneumonias. They were already, it was a 41 sample size. Yep. They're already the more extreme cases. It's not applicable to the general population. Mike Adams is not dealing with this data responsibly.
Now,
so this is higher than the Lancet.
It's in the range. It's a little bit higher, 17%. But listen to this. Remember the leaked data that came out of China where they had the second database and they accidentally showed the real numbers for a few minutes?
And that was confirmed. Spend time on that. We've got time. I mean,
it's not confirmed. Again, that's just the Tencent website glitch that people have theorized about. But now Alex is saying it's confirmed. It was a second set of data. It's all bullshit. None of the stuff that they're saying means anything.
Yeah. I don't like that it seems like this is the only way they have fun.
It does seem like, they're making money.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair.
So earlier in the show and on the 7th, Alex has been suggesting that they won't send out the RNA pattern or the sequence because if they do, people will look into it and they'll find, oh my God, this is a Frankenvirus.
Thousands of people have it.
It's not true.
It's everywhere.
It's not true at all.
You could probably get a copy if you asked politely.
If I search that guy's Twitter thread, yeah. I could probably find it. Anyway, that's not true. So now you have to, Mike Adams can't make that claim because he knows that his own website has probably published pieces of it.
Yeah.
It's nonsensical. And so now you got to move the goalpost. Why won't they send out samples of the virus?
Because you put Ebola in your fucking drink, you moron. That's why they don't send out samples.
But then a secondary issue to that is if they did, you would criticize them for doing that.
Absolutely.
You'd say, why are they allowing these samples to be taken wherever? They get you coming and going. No matter what you do, they're going to complain about it.
Even if they were the only way to get rid of it is with bleach, they'd be like, ha-ha, that's what we told you all along, but now you shouldn't drink bleach because they've been secretly putting the virus inside bleach
And what
now.
About us people who are made of ammonia?
Yeah, exactly. How do we mix with bleach?
Well, it's also interesting. China has not released samples of this actual virus, the physical virus. They've released the data about it, but not the physical samples. However, any enemy nation, such as Iran or North Korea, can
enemy
simply
nation?
Send 10 human volunteers to the Wuhan region. They'll get infected. They can bring it back, and they can harvest it from their saliva, and they can replicate it in egg yolks.
Good thing it's Wuhan's under lockdown, so the terrorists can't get into
Man.
Yeah, so he believes, just send 10 terrorists over there, and then they'll get in and make egg yolks.
Yeah.
Turns out Mike's also an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't know how many virgins these Islamic terrorists get for blowing themselves up, but there's probably bonus virgins out there if they infect all of New York City or something with this virus. I don't know how their virginomics system works, but, they're insane, and they think they're going to get rewarded for killing Americans. Now, guess what? They've been handed a new way to do that. It's a whole new vector, super easy to release in the United States. The CDC will not be able to contain that when that day comes.
This is exactly the same things they said about Ebola. This is exactly the same thing they said about all of these public health things. When Ebola was happening, they're like, why, what's stopping terrorists from going down and getting Ebola and then spreading it? This is just standard boilerplate shit. It's nonsense.
We're screwed.
It's a new vector.
We're screwed, Dan.
It's a new vector.
We're screwed because the right is getting too good at humor. Did you hear that?
He definitely
bonus
thought that was
virgins.
Funny.
He thinks he's great.
Virginomics.
Yeah. Oh,
guy's clever.
Oh man, I remember being in open mics 20 years ago when that was funny.
So Mike has other big news, though, that feeds into this sense of panic that everybody should be feeling, and it's bullshit.
We're getting reports of mass school closures where they're shutting down entire campuses all across America outbreaks.
Get to that.
Right. Well, it's, when I was a kid, when I went to school, they never shut down the school system just because some kids got sick. Now, suddenly, there are mass school closings happening. They're shutting down the whole campus.
I don't know when he was in school or, I don't care, really. It happens every year. Schools close during flu season.
Yeah.
It's not every school district. It's not every city. But you can Google it very easily and find articles year by year by year about schools closing because of an outbreak of the flu at the school.
Yeah.
That happens all the time. Mike is a fucking asshole pretending that it's unheard of that this year there are schools closing because of the flu because it helps him push his bullshit narratives. Yeah. This is deeply disturbed behavior.
Yeah. We need a government program to Truman Show these guys. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We need to isolate them. We need to build actors around them so they feel safe and comfortable.
Problem with this plan, I don't want to watch that show.
Oh, that's true. I don't want to watch that show either.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Maybe we just keep them in a dome.
It's interesting. All their information is just dog shit. It's so bad. I don't even know what else to say. It's all stupid.
Yeah, this is insane.
But there's also a level of just rank narcissism flying around.
We should have you back on the regular Sunday show or the Monday show tomorrow to really break this down. The options for Trump. He's clearly listening.
Trump's clearly listening. That is a reference back to him believing that his interview with Francis Boyle precipitated the ABC News article that came out prior to the interview.
Yeah.
This is lunacy. Anyway.
Jesus.
Despite them being wrong about everything.
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 Literally everything.
Yeah, totally.
Even their own descriptions of things that they know to be true.
Despite all that, they're usually right.
Here, I don't have some talking point somebody gave me. We're two men with a great crew of men and women behind us telling it like
who
it
you
is.
Hate.
We have research and what we're saying. Just like somebody at 5,000 years ago in the tribe standing up saying, I just saw ships landing out there and they got weapons. They're coming to enslave us. And everybody knows
what?
You're a liar. You tell the truth. Well, you're somebody in the tribe that's always told the truth. You might have made a mistake a few times, but most of the time you're right. They get their weapons and get ready. Now, some little lion right. cry wolf person like Brian Stelter gets up. They might, you know, throw him off a cliff or tell him get out of town. But when somebody
what?
Gets up and tells the truth over and over again, they get ready. Now, maybe those yep. ships just landed and decided to leave. The point is, the ships are landing. This looks really bad. We hope it isn't as bad as it looks, but we're not going to lie to you and tell you what we're seeing.
I would love to have a half of Alex's confidence
I
about
know.
His own behaviors.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't recognize that he's been wrong about everything,
constantly.
I mean, he probably does, but you can't let that show.
Well, the
because if you
is,
do, then you're showing your ass a little bit.
The problem is, even if he does recognize that, he doesn't know the real truth, which is that he's wrong about everything.
True.
Even if he knows he's wrong about most of it, he still thinks he's right about at least a few things.
Yeah, probably.
And those few things, he needs to be disabused of the notion that they are true.
And like, look, dude,
everything is fiction in his life.
He's sitting here saying that, like, hey, man, we're just two dudes telling it like it is. We don't have talking points.
Stop!
You know what your talking points are? Sure, you don't call them talking points.
Yeah.
They're zero hedge headlines. Those are your talking points. You do have talking points.
Your talking points are whatever it is that will help you sell fucking whatever it is that can be sold.
Yeah, they're bullet points on a sales list.
Exactly.
That's what you, that's yep. your talking points.
Yup.
Dick. So, this ends with about 15 minutes of Alex doing sales pitches.
Yeah.
It's bad. We're not going to listen to any of that.
Good.
They're done talking about the coronavirus nonsense for now. And the Alex and Mike have a little bit of a discussion about Trump's firings of Colonel Vindman.
Right.
And,
I'm sure that they're
Sondland.
Against it. It's another abuse. It's a retaliatory thing.
They
that
love
many,
it.
No, you should have protections.
Nope.
And you shouldn't be able to.
They're fans.
Okay.
Can't get enough.
No, it's because that's an authoritarian.
More curveballs thrown at him. And because he's a symbol of nationalism and populism, he's had his best week. Since he came down that escalator 4.5 years ago, in my view. Do you agree with that? How is the deep state going to strike back now? They're talking about it's bad. He fired Vindman and the ambassador Sondland. That should be the tip of the iceberg. He needs to talk about purge. He needs to purge anybody that's been Soros, anybody that's a neocon, anybody that's been deep state, anybody that's a leftist, because they're all slaves. They're all committed to evil. There's no way they're not going to keep sabotaging. Trump finally has to begin the political purge. He's the executive. He has a right to clean house.
This is the Trump we've been waiting for. And it's time for Trump to not only purge all those traitors and deep staters and drain that swamp. It's time to lock her up.
So that's cool. I mean, if Trump were to do something more extreme in terms of shoring up power, clearing out dissent within the government, any critical voices, let's say, it's good to know that Alex and Mike would see that as the Trump we've been waiting for.
As we all know, Alex is a student of history.
Loves it.
And he knows that when an autocratic leader surrounds himself with nothing but yes men,
it works.
Good things happen.
It works well.
Good things happen.
So
all I hear is him saying he's very excited for a peaceful transition of power in 2020.
Totally.
I think he's really excited about it.
But the thing is, dude, look, these firings, sure, they might look like retaliation for people who testified against
No,
Trump.
He just said they were a purge.
Well, it might look like that, but it's just because they were deep state. They were deep state.
That's still a purge.
Point is, this is the deep state being removed. This is the anti-American being removed. This is the cancer being removed. And the ambassador and all of them being removed. And they're like, the president can't do this. Oh, he can't fire who he wants in his own administration?
Look, dude, Sondland was not deep state. He was like a businessman.
He was a career. Yeah. He was a careerist. Yeah. He was a guy who worked at a.
He donated to Trump.
Yeah. And Trump was like, here's a job.
It's not the deep
fucking
state.
Insane.
Yeah. This is all nonsense. Anyway, it's a real tragedy.
Anybody a traitor ex post facto.
It's true.
It's kind of surprising that the moment he does something you don't like, he's been deep state all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what we see over the course of this couple of days is like a real pivot in the coronavirus narrative towards like it's now definitively it's a bioweapon. It's probably race specific. China might be false flagging themselves, but if it's the United States, then it's just payback for fentanyl and it's totally ethical for us to do that. That's super weird. Alex talks to Francis Boyle and then he has to sort of backpedal and be like, biolabs are the problem.
Yeah.
This is all very troubling stuff. I don't like where it's going. I don't know where it can go. But then our trend that we saw on, I believe it was on the last episode where Alex is talking about outlawing the Democratic Party. That's still in there too.
Yeah.
But it's put to the back burner because Alex needs to push all the stuff to sell the products.
Okay. New pitch. All right. Here's my new idea. We write up some templates, all right? And if you can plug Trump into one of these templates, then you know it's bad because these are shit written by Goebbels and pro-Stalinists and Putinists and all of these people. And if you can just put Trump in there, then we know it's a bad idea, right?
I mean,
it's simple.
I think people have done this.
Yeah, I know. It's worked, right?
No.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, sorry about this episode being very outbreak heavy and a little bit depressing. Yeah, there is a weird vibe.
Yeah.
I feel weird a little bit. Maybe it's... Look, I know it was tough. It's a little lame. It's getting laborious that Alex won't stop coming up with new lies that he's reading on Zero Hedge about the coronavirus. But I think, if nothing else... That Anthony Fauci stuff, I think, is fucking hilarious.
That's hilarious.
The way Alex is pretending that he's known about him for months and looking into it.
That's just... You didn't need to make that lie. That's just another one of those lies where he's
a child.
Like, it was 30 guys and I fought them all instead of it. It was three guys. Fighting off three guys is still an amazing thing. You can just say three guys. We'd all be excited for you.
What a mess.
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully the next episode will be non-coronavirus related.
Doubtful.
We will see.
Unless the sales end, then I don't think we're going to...
He's out of the gargle.
Once he's out of all that stuff, I think we might be off. We might finally get that
in-studio surgery we've been waiting for. But we will see. We'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
We are... we're on Facebook.
We...
Sorry, blanked there for a second.
Unlike Mike Adams and Alex Jones, we're on Facebook.
It's true.
And if you'd like to download the show, please go to iTunes or wherever podcastual apps are sold. Leave a review, rate, whatever. Donate. It's lovely.
Yeah. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am Old English Swear Words.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.